give you the child.
Sarah, beware. I have been generous up until now, but I can be cruel.
Generous? What have you done with generous?
Everything. Everything that you wanted, I have done. You asked that the child be taken. I took him. You cowered before me. I was frightened. I have reordered time. I have turned the world upside down. And I have done it all for you. I am exhausted from living up to your expectations. Isn't that generous?
Your dangers and tolls and hardships are numbered. I have fought my way here to the castle beyond the Goblin City. My will is as strong as yours. And my
strength. Wait. Look, Sarah. Look what I am offering you. Your dreams.
And my kingdom is great.
I ask for so little. Just let me rule you. And you can have everything that you want.
Kingdom is great. Sam, I can never remember that line.
Just fear me. Love me. Do as I say, and I will be your slave.
Kingdom is great. Your kingdom is great. You have no power over me.
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
All right, I won't say anything about it then.
I cannot believe that.
It's not that I'm not a fan.
You'd be excited about that one.
I'm not excited. I'm excited for you. That's what it is. I'm happy that you're happy.
Well,
about
you know what, Rick Emerson, if you hadn't dropped the ball and didn't find it adequate to begin with,
at least
I didn't play Independence Day.
No, it's true. It's true. And the only thing I had prepared today was a real downer. And I want to start the week off with a downer. We'll save that for like a Friday or something. We'll save the depressing thing for the end of the week. The only speech I had prepared today was that Martin Sheen speech from Apocalypse Now, where he's, I didn't say anything to my wife until I said yes for a divorce. And then I couldn't wait to get back to the jungle or whatever that whole sequence of the Apocalypse Now when Martin Sheen's having a nervous breakdown and he's punching the mirror. Anyway, whatever. Hello. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of August in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and listening and the whole thing. And I've just been derailed by this blinking thing on my screen. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to join us today? It is Monday, and welcome to day 12. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. Your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your corrections, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can email the rest of the folks. It's sarah@970.am. It's tim@970.am or scottyj@970.am. You can also call right now if you'd like. Scotty J is waiting to pass along your observations, your comments on the tedious, the groundbreaking, the interesting, the mundane. It is 503-733-2970. Thank you so much. All right, and I'm not going to. I won't reveal what that opening monologue was from right there.
See, and you're thinking that it's just a total niche thing, but I think a lot more people know that than you think.
It's not that it's a total. Well, it is a niche thing, but I will say this: with the possible exception of Aaron Geek in the City Duran, who undoubtedly recognized that from like the third syllable, I will say this: that in my experience. Scotty, why do you even try to spell that word? Really? Why do you even
don't give
try
it away.
To? I swear to God, it's like you type by just whacking your face on the keyboard over and over again, like some sort of rabid monkey. It's not so much that it's a niche; it's that it's a niche. It's a niche within a niche. Because you know who loves that film is chicks. I don't know why.
Of course.
And it seems, I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like an obvious chick movie. It seems like it ought to be a guy movie. Because it's sort of that genre. It's sort of that oeuvre, as they say. All right, well, we'll do a little thing here about it in just a second. 503-733-2970. Hi, it's Monday. Here's what's coming up at today's exciting excursion into comedy. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard today. Apparently, let me double check. Yes, your phones are still being wiretapped. So we'll talk about that. I guess I didn't realize this, that the wiretapping that had lapsed. There was a horrible, frightful crisis of 3 days where the Bush administration wasn't able to come and, bug all the orifices in your body to find out whether you were secretly plotting with Al-Qaeda. But thank God the crisis has passed. All communications in your house may now be freely eavesdropped upon by the White House. Our long 3-day national nightmare of lack of surveillance is over. What else is coming up? Steve Kastenbaum. Will join us today. We'll talk about Barry Bonds, you can tell that he's crossed into pop culture because even I know who he is, what he's doing, what he's about to do, and the scandal with which he is doing it. So that's how you can tell it's become a thing that has entered the mainstream of American culture. It has passed through the semi-perforable membrane from the sporting world into the world at large. So we'll talk about Barry Bonds with Steve Kastenbaum later on. Clyde Lewis will join us in the 1 o'clock hour today. We'll have the top five. Remember when it was all hot, like a week ago? It was all warm and whatnot, and then that just suddenly went away over the course of the weekend. And let me also make this observation. Is it just me, or does it seem like this summer has just gone by in the blink of an eye? I mean, we're into the second week of August or something already. It doesn't even really seem like we had a summer. It's like we had those 3 days where it was just paint-peelingly hot, and then it just went back to being sort of a big blanket of sort of smothery gray outside. I'm not really complaining as such. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, whatever. It just seems like the summer sort of went by in the blink of an eye. So it was unseasonably cool over the weekend. So we will have today the top five cool songs as compiled by Scotty J. The top five cool songs coming up today. A big stack of Florida news we'll get through today. Also right here to my immediate right... Hear that? That's a big pile of news you could not possibly care less about, yet news that we will read nonetheless. What else? We got some cool giveaways we're going to be doing this week. I don't have time to really elaborate on that right now. Well, we'll elaborate on a little bit later. So we'll do that. Plus other things and so forth, and stories of comedy and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. That's what we got today. Lisa Goddard, Steve Kastenbaum, top five Florida news. This big stack of stuff. Giveaway updates. We'll continue our hunt for the second worst story ever. We've got another pile of news entitled "People You Should Be Glad That You Are Not," and that's pretty much it at the moment. The other things will undoubtedly happen, but I don't wish to tease them at this juncture in the program. We will, at the behest of Sarah, we'll do a little Insta poll here in just a second. We'll roll that out here in just a moment. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
I'm good. I finally finished season 3 of Lost.
Now, how long did you stay? Was it one big? Did you just power load it?
I did. I've been watching them, probably one every couple of days. And then yesterday, I did not feel like doing anything. I was tired. I had been, doing soap box derby stuff all the day before. I'm like, I just feel like taking advantage of the Sunday and watching them. So I watched about 8 episodes straight, 8 or 9 yesterday. Finished season 3. It wasn't the last episode so much as it was episode 18, where all of a sudden your jaws are like, what the hell just happened? It's such a good show. I'm so excited for the next season.
Now, was episode 18 the one where they do the leap? You know what I'm talking about. You know, that because I haven't... How do I describe it? Well, I don't care. The one where they do the flash forward.
No.
When was that? Because here's the thing. As we've noted... ad nauseum on this program in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, for a show that's not even on the air right now, we spent an inordinate amount of time talking about Lost recently.
This show freaks me out, like our show, and the listeners are so afraid someone was going to tell me what happened at the end. And then halfway through it, one of my neighbors upstairs was like, hey, can I borrow a cigarette? And I'm like, okay, I'll give you one. And I was halfway through the last episode, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm watching Lost. He goes, oh, so did you get to the part yet where they
do
this?
Don't you love that?
Oh, my God. I shut the door in his face. I'm like, go away. And just shut the door in his face. I'm like, I have 15 minutes left of this, and you want to ruin it for me.
Is there a sentence in the English language that is more ill-advised than a sentence that begins with, have you gotten to the part where... Don't ask that. Why would you ever ask somebody that? Have you gotten to the part where Michael kills Fredo?
He's like, no, it's okay. It's just because I know that they're not renewing the season because they already discovered that. Stop.
You need to shut your mouth. All right.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I said to walk away before I punched him.
Because here's the thing. As we did, I watched season one of Lost. I watched about 6-7 episodes of season two. And then I just pulled the ripcord. Like about 40% of the viewing audience, I was just like, F this, I'm out of here. And I just hit the eject. And man, I just bailed right out of that show. And I didn't watch season three, although I know the general consensus is that Lost came back and became good again in season three. But I will tell you this, I had a lot of people say, and as I'm just telling you what my circle of television watching acquaintances said. Everybody said that season three was good, not like the best thing ever, but they said season three was good, but it was worth sort of watching all of season three just to get to the season three finale. And they're like, the final 5 minutes of season three is so good that you should suffer everything through everything else just to get to the final 5 minutes of season three. So what I did is I just went online and watched the final 5 minutes of season three. I didn't watch anything else. I didn't watch the rest of season two. I didn't watch the other 22 episodes in season three. I just watched the last 5 minutes of the season when they do the flash forward that's like 10 or 12 years in the future, whenever the hell it is. So,
yeah, however long it is.
So, but hey, here's my question is, having seen the final 5 minutes of season three, in other words, knowing the big twist that ended last season, is it still worthwhile to go back and watch the rest of it? Or can I just, like, start at season four?
Oh, no, you can't do that. There's so much character development and so much behind the scenes.
There's so much Walt that I'm missing.
Oh, God. Walt does come back.
Walt and Michael.
Dude, Walt was in the last episode. I'm like,
creepy zombie Walt?
He's all creepy zombie boy.
Yeah.
But it's the middle of the day, but he's talking to John Locke.
Did you know how I didn't even have to ask? I just guessed that because that's always what happens in any program that takes place on a mysterious tropical island. Someone vanishes and they come back as a zombie. That is a proud tradition dating back to Gilligan's Island. That's the way it always works. They always come back, but when a character vanishes, especially on an island
setting... But he talks like a little robot boy.
When they return, whenever a character vanishes, whether it's Fantasy Island, whether it's Gilligan's Island, whether it's Castaway, Swept Away, doesn't matter. So, anything that takes place on a piece of land surrounded by water, when a character vanishes, they will return... But they'll be changed. He seems like a different person since he's come back. That's always how that works.
That happens a lot in season three.
Totally. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Six are trapped in a Utah coal mine following an earthquake. A puppy lost in the Oregon desert is reunited with its Nevada owners.
Aww.
Republicans have a debate and argue about the same old tire thing. Giuliani's daughter backs Obama.
Ugh.
Usher marries his pregnant girlfriend, finally.
Usher.
Bless you. Lindsay Lohan enters her third rehab, this time at Sundance. And Florida Senator Bob Allen, caught paying for sex in the park restroom, claims he did so to get away from a scary black man in the park.
All right there. You know, Florida never disappoints.
Yeah, lots of Florida stories today.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because it is Monday, and they had all weekend.
It's Florida Monday. Well, Florida is sort of... As I said, Florida is sort of, I mean, it's just, you get the feeling that if you were in an airplane flying over the state of Florida, you know, you were heading overseas or did whatever.
If Southeast Portland became a state.
It's sort of, Southeast Portland is, let's put it this way, that Florida is a macrocosm of Southeast. You get the feeling that if you were to fly over Florida and just open the window of the plane and just sort of stick your head out and listen, you would just hear, like, the sounds of random explosions and gunfire and screams and dinosaurs. I mean, it's just one big role-playing game down there, you know what I mean? All right, excellent. Well, we've got some phone calls to get to. We've got some... Mother, that's so great that your microphone was on as you were passing the big recycling bin in front of it. So before we do anything else, all right, do you have a little bit of the sounder? We'll just do a little, we'll do a little Insta poll just to sort of prime the pump here at the top of the show. Do you have the sounder we started the show with? Okay, so we will not identify what movie this is. We'll simply do an Insta poll. Although the Insta poll is going to be kind of pointless because...
Somebody's going to get it and then...
Well, because the first person that we pick up will say it, and then everybody else on the phone will know what it is. But we'll just go through and we'll see if people spotted it. We'll go through and see if people knew what it was. So this is the sound with which we started today's program.
The dangers and tolls and hardships and numbers.
The number is 503-733-2970.
To the castle beyond the goblin.
503-733-2970.
My will is as strong as yours.
And so the Insta poll is, do you or do you not recognize this? It's not really what is this from.
I think it's you. I think a lot of people, people make casual labyrinth. Oh, dump it. Okay, people make casual references to this movie all the time.
So the question...
I really do believe.
The question for the soundbite is not, what is it? Because that'll become apparent again with, like, the first or second call. The question is, do you or do you not recognize this soundbite? And even once it's been revealed what this is, the question is, for this Insta poll is, do you or do you not recognize
this? Well, because this quote is said a few times throughout the movie, too.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
So hot.
Great.
I didn't pick the most stellar part of this.
You have no power over me.
I remember watching this in like fifth grade. That's it.
All right, is that it? Here we go. All right, we'll just go through these calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Do you recognize that soundbite?
Hello?
Hi there.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you do recognize the soundbite.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch that movie all the time in high school. Loved it.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Do you recognize the soundbite?
Oh, absolutely. Great movie.
See? All right, maybe...
It's you, Rick.
All right, sons of bitches. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Do you recognize the soundbite?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you. All right, see, I wonder if people are only... I think maybe the votes are stacked here. Because I think perhaps if people don't recognize the soundbite, they're not cool calling in because they don't look too
foolish. It's a totally nerdy soundbite. Why would they want to pretend that they knew it if they didn't?
That is true. We are too geeky for some people. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Do you recognize the soundbite?
Yep, it's from Labyrinth.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, there you go. We'll finish out the bank. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Did you recognize the soundbite?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. We'll do two more. Did you recognize the soundbite?
I know what that is.
He says menacingly. All right. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Did you recognize the soundbite?
I do not.
All right. One guy who's with me. Because I don't think I would have spotted it. That's the thing. Thank you, sir. We'll do one more. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Show. Did you recognize the soundbite?
I know the soundbite. I know how to spell bellows. And I know that you live in a duplex.
Hang up now.
He's my favorite.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much. Here's the thing about it. The only way that I would have recognized that soundbite is being from the movie Labyrinth with a very young Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie.
And a very hot David Bowie.
Goblin. That's the other thing. I mean, it's like we're not thinking of squeegee over there to get the drool off of the keyboard because Sarah just kept salivating at the screen today about how hot David Bowie was with his big, like, weird, docking mullet that he's got going on in that film.
And his light purple spandex.
Uh-huh.
And his little lace flowy shirt and the balls that he plays with.
I recognize David Bowie's voice, but other than that, I don't think I would have spotted anything else in the film.
The Goblin Kingdom?
I'm just saying that I think that Labyrinth is a chick film. That's all I'm saying, which is not to diminish it. I'm not trying to knock it. I'm saying I think that movie, typically speaking, appeals more to women for some reason. I'm not saying that there are dudes who are familiar with it. I'm just saying for some reason, I do think that movie falls down on the female side of things.
I think it's because David Bowie was a lot of girls' first crushes, especially after First Crush.
Really?
After seeing it. Mm-hmm.
I think, again, we're in the just you category.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, whatever.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we're running short on time here. So what I should do before we do anything else is to say I don't even know what to do at this point, actually. I'm looking around, and I'm just surrounded by all this.
Well, why don't you tell us what you did this weekend?
No,
did you eat a box of wheat thins?
No, I ate it. Well, I did. I ate a box of Triscuits, and I finished that wheel of cheese that you gave me on Friday. So thanks so much for that. In fact, I finished that before I even left work on Friday. Sarah had finished, I don't know, about half a wheel of Laughing Cow cheese, and she gave the rest to me, and then I finished it. It wasn't even like 3:30. I mean, literally, it was like at 3:20, I opened that. Like, if you'd come into my office at 3:25 on Friday, you would have seen me sitting behind the monitor with it, like a big box of water crackers and half a wheel of Laughing Cow cheese, just, man, shoving it right down my gullet. But I feel okay about it because, you know, yesterday, what is yesterday, Sunday? Yesterday, I did this. There's this bike ride they do every year. It's called the Hottest Day of the Year ride. And obviously, it wasn't very hot day yesterday, but it's because traditionally, August, whatever the hell that is, this last weekend is traditionally the hottest weekend of the year. And so there's this 15-mile bike ride that they do called the Hottest Day of the Year ride. And I did that yesterday, and, you know, so I feel fine about, I feel absolutely okay with eating like a glutton all weekend. And let me just tell you this, if you did the Hottest Day of the Year ride yesterday, you do this whole 15-mile bike ride, and at the end, there is just, at the end, there was just this ice cream buffet that went on for, I swear to God, about 50 feet worth of table. There was like one table after another after
another.
You know,
you didn't. Did you just shove your face full of ice cream?
I did indeed.
If it was the hottest day of the year, why wasn't the ice cream melted?
But no, because they were kind of putting it out like they would. You would get on the line and they would give you the big thing of ice cream. And then there was a whole row of, there was like a table full of toppings that just went on and on and on forever. So I feel fine about my caloric intake this weekend because I did the whole, the big like 15-mile bike ride yesterday. So I'm completely fine.
I got a flat tire this weekend. That sucked.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I'm just going to read this one. You know what? Screw it. I'm just going to break. We'll take a break. We'll come back because I don't have time to get to any of this big stuff. And the small stuff should wait until later. So here's what's coming up. Oh, we got to talk about the Chocolate Rain song, too. The Chocolate Rain song has to be discussed later on today. Not that we're like the first people to play, because I know Court and Fatboy have been talking about it for like a week, 10 days, something like that. But I have this observation to make about it. So we'll get to the Chocolate Rain song. We have a follow-up to that worst interview that was ever conducted, that Mary Miller interview of Holly Hunter. We have sort of a follow-up to that that we'll try to play as well. Plus, Lisa Goddard coming up at the bottom of the hour. So you stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. All right. Hello. Hi. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's Monday. It's 503-733-2970. All right. So a couple of things coming up. You know, there's that Dew Tour that's going around right now. It's like a, you know, it's like an extreme sport kind of a thing. Speaking of which, I saw that skateboard crash over the weekend. That guy at the X Games.
Jesus. Yeah, how painful does that look?
I felt bruised just watching it. And I went back and I watched it two or three times, and then I couldn't watch it anymore. I watched it twice more because the video I found of it was sort of fan-taken video. It was like some guy in the stands shooting it. And I mean, I guess you should just sort of expect it because the appeal of the X Games or any sort of extreme sporting event like that is the idea that the guy might just shatter his spine. I mean, it's like car racing. That's the whole point, right? That's what makes it gripping. It's the idea that a guy might just end up going home inside a doggy bag. But you watch that thing, and he just goes down like this. I mean, just this ramp that's like, it's straight down. It's like going down a roller coaster ramp. And then he goes up into the, you know, whatever. It's like a huge half pipe. And he goes straight up, and then, like, the skateboard goes one way, and he goes another way. And if you haven't seen this, you just go to YouTube, and just, it's like X Games, like, crash or whatever. I think that's what I searched for. And he goes up this huge wall, like this half pipe on a skateboard. The skateboard goes one direction. He goes another direction. He just drops like a freaking rock straight down into the bottom like a rag doll. And then, of course,
and he's flailing. You can see his back going. I'm like, he's going to smash his head open.
And then the best and worst part is that he hits the ground and like a single shoe flies off. Not both shoes. One shoe. He hits the ground and a shoe just sails off into the distance. And the video that
it's silent
saw,
because everyone just thinks he's dead.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a whole lot of, you know, and everybody's just sort of, oh damn. And it's like a lot of nervously shuffling and looking at their feet while the crowd is sort of like, oh, I hope we were just cheering for a dead guy. So his shoe flies off. And the video that I saw doesn't have him getting up and walking away. I only know he did that because you mentioned it. The video I have just ends, it's like it's taken by a guy in the stands. And the video I watched just has, it just ends with a guy going, oh, damn. Like, it's hilarious, actually. Because the guy goes up and he just crashes down just like a bag full of potatoes. His shoe flies off. Immediately you see, like, blinking lights as, like, an ambulance rolls into the arena. A bunch of guys are, like, running and scrambling to pick up the body of this skateboarder. And it ends, it's almost like some really bad, bleak punchline. It just ends with the guy next to the cameraman just going, oh, damn. And then, bam, cut to black. Anyway, so there is the Dew Tour is going all around the country. That's coming to town, and we're actually giving away tickets to that all week long. You got to go to 970.am to become a Glorious Bastard. Go to 970.am to become an AM970 Glorious Bastard. Tickets to the Dew Tour happening all this week. We'll be talking about that. Plus, hear that? That's the sound of Night Ranger, my friends. I hold in my hand right here 14th Annual Neon Nights, which is happening Riverfront Park in the Dalles, Oregon, featuring Night Ranger. That is coming up this Saturday, Night Ranger in the Dalles. Scotty J will be there. What other motivation could you possibly need? So we will be giving away tickets to see Night Ranger this week as well. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, I think. Pairs of tickets to see Night Ranger this coming weekend. So be listening for that. All right. So behind. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello and how are you? Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to both of you guys. How are you?
I'm okay. I was, I don't know, the first 20 minutes of the show or so, I was still waiting for the caffeine to kick in. I was a little herky-jerky, higgledy-piggledy, as the British say.
I'm on the other end of the. I mean, I'm the same way. I need some caffeine right now, for sure. Like, I'm definitely... On, maybe in second gear.
What is that phrase that's like higgledy-piggledy? There's another phrase that is sort of similar to that. There's higgledy-piggledy and there's, oh, it's like helter-skelter or something. So I was
Oingo-boingo?
Yes, I was feeling all oingo-boingo. I was feeling all synth-laden at the beginning.
How long do you think it's been since they've got a reference on Portland's airwaves?
Actually, to be honest, I referenced oingo-boingo about 2 weeks ago on this show, and I'll tell you why.
No,
it's true. I'll tell you why. Because Scotty J had compiled a list. We do this daily top five, or we try to do a top five. And it's, you know, a musical top five, sort of high fidelity style that we count down almost every day on the show. And Scotty had put in the top five musical acts that he had seen at a state fair. And that's what it was. It was top five musical acts Scotty J has watched at a state fair. And on the list was this Portland band called the Crazy Eights, who are sort of before my time. They're one every town... has bands or performers like this that were really big sort of like 3 years before you moved there. You know what I mean?
Right.
No matter what city you move to, no matter when you move there, there will always be a group of people who constantly harangue you about some great band, act, guy, some genius who was underappreciated, who never broke through. And if you'd just been there back in the day, you'd know how great they were.
So
the Crazy Eights are one of those bands that you hear about in Portland. And so Scotty... is playing this cut from them on the top five, and really, it was just like someone had recruited like a karaoke band to mimic Oingo Boingo. That's how it sounded to me. Now, I'm not trying to knock the band, but I'm saying that's what it sounded like to me. It just sounded like sort of a blurry Xerox of a bad Danny Elfman song. So to answer your question, Oingo Boingo, reference more frequently than ye might think. Let me also say this.
Yes.
Oingo Boingo encapsulated and immortalized forever in what mid-1980s teen comedy, Lisa Goddard? Go.
Oh, movie or
movie.
A television show?
It's a movie. Feature film, 1986.
You got me. High. What's the movie? Like, it's not High Noon, High Three. I can't remember.
You're thinking of 3 o'clock High?
I am thinking of 3 o'clock High.
Look at your hip score go way up. Well, first of all, that answer's wrong, but it doesn't even matter at this point.
I mangled it, though. This is the lack of caffeine. The brain is just not kicked in.
It doesn't even matter that you got the wrong answer. The fact that you just referenced 3 o'clock High, and because I, again, just like 3 weeks ago, I tossed out a reference to 3 o'clock High.
What is going on? You're kidding me.
No.
You're just trying to make me feel good.
It's a really obscure movie, which had an uncredited executive producer role by Steven Spielberg. His name's not on it, but he was the executive producer.
That
is one of the great overlooked teen films of our time.
Teen movie, it really it should be up there with Breakfast Club in my book.
It still holds up too. You go watch it now, and it still holds up.
I need to check that out because I'd be nervous. I don't know if it would still.
Oh no, it's still great. I'd put it up there with Heathers. I mean, it's a slightly
That was a great movie.
Not quite as dark, but it's still sort of a bleak antidote to a lot of the sort of John Hughes-esque films of that era. I don't even know what we're talking about now. Oh, Oingo Boingo.
I missed it. So what great teen movie was it in?
Oingo Boingo were immortalized in the 1986 Rodney Dangerfield film Back to School.
Ah, yeah.
Also featuring a standout performance by Sam Kinison before he truly infiltrated the American pop culture consciousness. So.
Yes, yes.
All right, so there you go. I guess we should talk about actual news at this point, but just think we've crammed in Oingo Boingo, Rodney Dangerfield, Sam Kinison, and 3 o'clock High featuring one of the all-time great teen villains, Buddy Revelle.
That's right, exactly.
Into just like 6 minutes here.
And the great thing is you kind of felt like, I remember seeing it and thinking it was a setup and that Buddy Revelle was going to be some kind of wimp, and he totally was not.
No, the 3 o'clock High is a movie that almost totally avoids cliche.
Yeah.
It's a haunting kind of film, especially when you were in high school and you saw that film. It's a pretty gripping film. It really is, and it is actually very harrowing at points. If you watch it when you are at that era. By the way, and it is out on DVD, and I would really recommend everybody watch it. Basically, I'll give you the quick 2-sentence setup for it. It's a very simple plot.
It is, right.
It's at about 8:20 in the morning. There's a nerdy guy named Jerry Mitchell who goes into the bathroom.
Your depth of knowledge amazes me.
Well, I'm a tool. Jerry Mitchell, who's like a nerdy, like high school junior or something, goes into the bathroom and realizes he is standing at a urinal next to this huge, towering juvenile delinquent named Buddy Revelle, who's like a huge wall of guy.
His first hours in school by his belt.
And he's like a notorious character. And Jerry Mitchell inadvertently touches the guy, like puts his hand on the guy's shoulder. And this is about 8:20 in the morning. And Buddy Revelle just says, "I don't like to be touched, ever."
Right.
And he looks down at the kid and he just says, "You and me are going to fight today at 3 o'clock. And the rest of the movie is just this kid wondering how he can possibly get out of fighting the school bully at 3 o'clock and how he cannot get killed.
Fighting with his nerdy friend, yeah.
And that's it. And it's a great film. One of the little highlights of my life was when I lived in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is where that movie was filmed. There were every so often around Salt Lake City, you would run into guys who had been in 3 o'clock High.
Oh, that's excellent.
There's that sequence in 3 o'clock High where it's about noon and Jerry is like 3 hours away from the fight and he still is just, you know, the sense of dread. And there's that guy in the beret who runs up to him in the hallway and goes, "Hey, so I want to know that my friends are all betting against you, but I think you're solid. There's good odds going in the stitches and bruises category, 3-1. That guy, like, is an actor in Salt Lake, and every now and again you'll be out at a bar or something, and you'll run into that guy from 3 o'clock High.
That's great. Wow.
I've just alienated everybody in the audience who hasn't seen this movie, but you know what? It's worth it because it's an underappreciated teen gem.
It is definitely, yes, yes, and yes.
All right.
So basically, the U.S., the president now has a lot, much wider power to listen in on phone conversations in the United States. Now, of course, the Justice Department says that this was a bill that passed late Saturday night, I think close to midnight. I can't remember when it was that I filed my story on it, but it was right around midnight, maybe a little bit before, and probably 11, actually. But anyway, basically the House passed the bill that the president wanted, granting, first of all, the attorney general the ability to oversee and authorize some wiretapping. And basically what the White House is saying is that they need this ability because some terrorist, let's say, communications are transferred through perhaps a location in the United States so that the U.S. cannot listen in because of United States laws against that. This is what the White House contends, and that this new law now gives intelligence agencies the ability to listen in on those conversations that may be routed through the United States without a warrant. However, Democrats, a little concerned about that, saying, wait, this also potentially gives the White House the power to listen in on most anything in the United States that they deem to be suspicious, including, and this isn't just phone calls, but email, all of these things. The White House says, no, this is just Al-Qaeda, it's just terrorists. Uh-huh. But Democrats, we don't trust you so much.
I love any news story that contains the phrase, without a warrant, because it does, I mean, because really, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I'm not trying to diminish, Al-Qaeda or the war on terror, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't terrorists in the world, but I mean, really, theoretically, this same argument could have been made at any point in American history about any threat to our country, right?
Well, because technology has advanced. I mean, they do need to update our surveillance laws because technology is advancing so quickly, and the law was passed in the 1970s when you could only get 3 different types of telephone. We had the princess. But they do need to change the law to update with technology. So there's a legitimate argument there. But I think that the issue here is there's no check, there's no balance. The president and agencies underneath the president are all the ones supervising this mechanism that does not have to check in with courts.
Because I know a lot of people in Portland will care about this. Is this a thing, this new bill that allows them to basically come by and, you know, I don't know, browse through, you know, whatever it is in your email or your phone that they want to? Does that lapse when the Bush administration lapses, or is this a thing that will outlive the Bush administration?
It lapsed sooner than that. In fact, it has a 6-month sunset. This was an amazing case of timing. The Bush White House has done this twice now, that they've pressed for a key security-related bill right as the Congress was getting ready to recess for August. And basically the president said Congress has to pass a bill that deals with this issue that I will accept before it can leave town. And the president does have the power to call Congress into an emergency session if he wants to. So the House had to pass this, and we heard a lot of speeches about the threat from al-Qaeda. And, in fact, beyond the rhetoric, the CNN correspondents who work with the Justice Department and work with the FBI do say that their sources are nervous that they're hearing increased chatter from their suspected terrorist organizations, and that they want as much power as they can to track down any conversations, any communication, to figure out what's happening. And if there's a lot of nervousness out there. And you could feel that on the House floor. Those who support the president really, really use that to make their point. They brought together most of the Republicans in the House and a number of conservative Democrats and basically outvoted the Democrats who are in power and sided with the president. So it's a huge victory for him. But part of the deal was this will only last for 6 months. And I have a feeling that Congress may come back to it sooner than that, because there's a lot of Democrats smarting on this one. Of course, the problem is we don't really know what this means. We don't know if the White House believes it can what it can do here or not.
It's going to be an interesting year. Really is. We're just, I mean, I know we're halfway through right now, but the next, man, the rest of this year, and then as we barrel into 08, these are going to be good times, because we're going to hear about all of these things again.
That's right.
Just going to come back over and over.
Words that may be coming up, we may be talking about as early as September, but probably in December, government shutdown.
That's a tease. Are you on tomorrow?
I am. I'm all right here.
Tomorrow, and we don't have time to do it today, but tomorrow we'll do that. We'll touch on this briefly in this GOP debate, too. We'll talk about that a little
bit
tomorrow.
Oh, sure. That sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, guys.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. We'll touch Steve Kastenbaum in a second. There's one final thought about 3 o'clock high. Which again,
I've heard you talk about this movie for years. I just need to go and rent it.
I can't recommend it strongly enough. It really is somewhere between like a John Hughes sort of idealized teen film and The Darkness of Heathers. It's one shade lighter than Heathers, but it is very different than all the other teen films from that era. And I will say that if you find that girl in Pump Up the Volume, Samantha Mathis, I think her name is, if you find the Pump Up the Girl. See if I was more awake and be able to make a joke about it. That's the blah 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 story. Pump Up the Girl would be the. See, you really require knowledge with someone who has an inflatable doll to make that joke. Like if Scotty had an inflatable doll, so that's the Scotty J story. No, of course not. But if you like the Pump Up the Volume girl, Samantha Mathis, then you will love the girl who is Jerry Mitchell's sort of quasi girlfriend in 3 o'clock High. She nails that mid '80s. Goth look better than I think I've ever seen anybody do in a movie set in that period. So it's a great film. You ought to see it. And we're done. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the city that never sleeps, CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing good.
You know, I don't even know why we use the Star Wars theme for you. Every time we play it, it's not that it's bad as such. It just sort of doesn't seem to make any sense. It's kind of a non sequitur of a theme.
We need to find another theme. I think we didn't have anything.
I think it was the temp theme that just sort of was grandfathered in and became your permanent theme.
We never found one. We never decided on what song should be my song.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing. And it's sort of all the New York ones are either taken or they're just sort of cliched or... I don't know. I'll find something.
We talked about No Sleep Till Brooklyn, but yeah, that was too cliché.
It's not about that. And then there's a bunch of Brooklyn songs. There's New York. There's a thing, you know, maybe if I could find an instrumental version of New York or something. Maybe, how about this? Maybe I could find... Wait, I'm having an idea. Having a thought. having an inspiration. Wait, now it's back to just being a notion. Right? No, now it's a thought again. We could use an instrumental from a great television program set in New York City.
How about the Honeymooners theme?
I was going a different way. I was going to ask how you feel about the late 1970s police sitcom Barney Miller.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, I love Barney Miller.
Hold on. Hey, can I just tell you this? And this is a something we should put aside for like one of our high concept segments on this program. Can I just tell you that Barney Miller is, I would say, I'm just saying for me now, that Barney Miller is the greatest TV theme song in the history of the world that isn't the Jeffersons. Because the Jeffersons is far and away the greatest TV theme song of all time. There's nothing that has ever outstripped that. It is the greatest TV theme song ever. Barney Miller, though, is a close second.
Barney Miller's up there, and Sanford and Son. Wasn't that Quincy Jones doing Sanford and Son?
I don't know. Is that that's the sort of thing I would just sort of blindly agree with because it sounds right, but I don't really know that it's true. Wait, hold on. Sarah, is my computer up? I think we've got the Barney Miller theme song. Let's just give it a...
I love that one.
Come on, how great is that? This is great, and has a great quintessential 70s New York feel to it. I'll get some sort of a cleaned-up version. This is just coming right off YouTube. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of this. And it's got Abe Vigoda, and you can't front on anything that has Abe Vigoda in it.
Maybe you can find the theme for the Barney Miller spin-off, Fish.
Nerd. All right. Well, good reference just for that. Just for that, I think I might do it. Fish, for the win, can you name Fish's wife?
Oh, no, I can't. But I remember the kids.
Okay, I'm actually bluffing there because I can't remember Fish's wife either. Detective Fish was always on the phone with his wife, and her name was like, God, it was like Denise or Janice or Maxine or something. I forget what it was. It doesn't matter. Hey, let's talk about Barry Bonds. And it's funny because you and I have spent a lot of our recent discussions talking about this book, The Bronx is Burning, which regrettably I did not finish this week. And I'm about 30 pages out from the end. But a lot of that is about the 77 Yankees and the tension between Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin and baseball and so forth. And so this week, in fact, the last few months, there's been all of this tension about Barry Bonds, who... Now, let me clarify something here, because I don't pretend to be a sports fan or an expert by any means. I really only follow sports when it crosses over into popular culture.
Okay.
Now, there's this leaked grand jury testimony that purportedly, I guess, sort of indicates or implies that Bonds took steroids. But just to be fair, so that I'm not accused of just the painting with an unfair brush, is it still technically speculation that Bonds is all juiced up, or is it something that was confirmed off the record, or that was confirmed but never, he was never prosecuted for? What is the deal?
He made comments that implied that he might have used some stuff, but then that was quickly pushed aside and sort of retracted, but not really. So... he won't testify. I believe he won't testify. That's the case before the investigation, or he won't talk about what he's done. Something along those lines. I'm not 100% sure. But I mean, you look at the numbers, right? And he reached 755 home runs in nearly 2,600 fewer games than it took Hank Aaron to reach that figure. At bats, I'm sorry, 2,600 fewer at bats. So, you know, to hit that many home runs in that short a period of time, less than 10,000 at bats, it's really unheard of. And there's a period there, when you look at the stats, for a while, where he's hitting home runs at an incredible rate. And so it's sort of like a bell curve, you know, when this stuff started coming out about the possibility that he was using steroids, all of a sudden his numbers started to slowly slide a little bit, and he came back down to reality and started hitting home runs like a normal superhero would, you know.
And he is, and of course, physically, his physical stats. I heard that has sort of expanded too, where he actually showed physical signs of having used steroids.
Right, he was huge.
Yeah.
The neck became really large, and you know, steroids is often linked to being short fused, you know,
right.
having a temper, and look at Barry Bonds. I mean, geez, he's notorious for having outbursts with the media or just saying things that push you back, you know.
So I know he's tied with Hank Aaron right now at 755. And now I guess the big issue is because Bud Selig, who is he's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. I guess for a while he was sort of saying that he wasn't going to show up to see the record broken. Like he wasn't going to be there, and he wasn't going to sort of dignify it. He wasn't going to legitimize it by being in the crowd. Is that still the case?
Well, he was at the game for number 755, but he kept his hands in his pockets. And now on Major League Baseball's website, it says that his schedule does not permit him to be at the Giants games for the next couple of games, so that a representative from Major League Baseball will be there for the next two or three games, and then he'll be there after that. So he's saying he's got some scheduling conflicts. What that might be, I don't know. But that's what they're saying on their website.
So if Bonds, I guess maybe it's not if, I guess it probably is when Bonds breaks this record, is this going to be like the Roger Maris Babe Ruth thing where they gave him the number but there's an asterisk next to it? Or is it just going to be sort of an unofficial? Is there going to be an official denotation that there is some taint to it? Is that just going to be, or is that just going to be a thing that stays in the whisper stream, as they say?
It remains to be seen. Right now, there hasn't been any official statement from Major League Baseball that they'll put any sort of asterisk next to it or any denotation to it, saying that, you know, we suspect he might have been taking steroids during this. But if it does come out and there is irrefutable evidence that he was on steroids, one would suppose that Major League Baseball would have to do something to note this. And I was talking to a baseball historian about this guy, Gerald Early, from Washington University. He's been talking a lot about Barry Bonds, and he was saying, you know, this for years, for decades, this will be following Barry Bonds.
I think that probably over a period of time, people will look back at this period as the period of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, and I think they will look at the numbers that were produced in this period a little bit differently than numbers that were produced in earlier periods in baseball.
So it's not just him, though. You got to realize, you know, nobody's even talking about the fact that there might have been some pitchers who were juiced as well.
Right.
So, you know, that's what the counter-argument is. You know, it's not just the hitters who were taking steroids for a while there. Pitchers were doing it, too. So was it a level playing field? You know?
So we'll bottom line this with the question that I've really been thinking about, and I haven't heard anybody ask this. So if and when he hits this home run number 756, is the crowd going to boo him or cheer him or both?
You're going to hear a mixture. You're definitely going to hear a mixture, because when he's done it at home, there have been some boos and there have been some cheers. If he does it on the road, you're surely going to hear more boos than cheers, because that's been the case the last couple of home runs. But if he does it at Giants Stadium, if he does it in San Francisco, you'll definitely hear a mix. You'll hear some boos.
All right. Oh, by the way, for the record, Fisher's wife's name on Barney Miller, Bernice.
Bernice.
And see, of course, now that I've heard it, I can hear it in my head where Fisher's always on the phone going, but Bernice, how did the cat set the house on fire? You know, and he's fantastic. And I don't think we ever saw her. Even on the spinoff Fish, I don't think Bernice was ever seen.
And they had a house full of adopted kids or something like that, or foster children, something like that.
See, I don't even remember that. All I remember is being... The thing I remember about Barney Miller is, A, that Linda Lavin of Alice fame was on there occasionally, and B, that what's-his-name, Ron Glass, was always over there kind of typing like a novel or a memoir or something.
Right.
And finally, that Steve Landesberg was on that program. And Steve Landesberg, who then, to my knowledge anyway, never did anything ever again, and yet showed up in a series of commercials for like the next 15 years where he just basically was dressed as his character from Barney Miller in like glasses and a rumpled suit, like trying to sell you a mattress or something.
Right, and then there was the Asian detective. I forgot his name, but he always had stomach problems.
I believe his name was Kim Soo. Yeah. I might be wrong about that, but I believe his name was Kim Soo. And yeah, and he was always just sort of very put upon and sort of just having a bad day. Excellent. All right. Well, there you go.
Hey, can I give a quick props out to Sarah for her website? I every time I come on the show, I take a quick look to see what pictures she's put up on the blog,
mm-hmm.
And I just love the pictures of the women. Just well, Britney Spears especially in her hair.
Yeah, Britney Spears is gold.
Are there new photos?
I updated I think like a week ago with her and her look like dreadlocks.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yeah,
I've seen that. It's terrible.
Picture.
Yeah, all right.
Those
yes.
Plugs are awesome.
SarahXDillon.com is the place for all your celebrity, I don't know, blah,
mockery.
Blah, blah. It's mockery, whatever you want. Yeah, all right. All right, my friend, as always, it's a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
All Thank you very much.
CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum in New York.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. You're somebody, Sarah.
I actually just posted right now, they just released the poster for the Indiana Jones movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I think I've seen this one. Is it just the one that says Summer 2008 and it's got his silhouette?
No.
Oh, okay. Hold on, I got to look. All right, I got to look, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come
back.
It's so rad. What's the, is it your, at your side?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Let me look, and you all can hear the excitement on the air.
In real time.
Me typing in a URL and then looking at it. All right. And SarahExcellent.com. In the meantime, we'll take this call. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to join in on the 3 o'clock high bandwagon. Hello?
Yes, I'm right here, sir.
Oh, okay, because it is a great movie, and it's criminally underrated.
Yeah, it's one of the movies that never really got the attention, and for whatever reason, maybe he was unhappy with the outcome, maybe it was part of his deal, but Spielberg didn't put his name on it, even though he was one of the executive producers, which is unfortunate, because that really would have pushed that movie probably into the cultural consciousness more, but it is one of the great overlooked films of the 80s teen genre. You're absolutely right.
Well, I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the name of his... Jerry had a goth light girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she had a spirit guide. What was his name?
Ethan.
Ethan, nicely done. And Phil Juneau, who directed it, what was his very next project after that movie?
I have no idea.
U2's Rattle and Hum.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day, man.
You too. All right, Ethan feels you're in great danger. All right, wait, hold on. I'm looking at the screen now. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Look, and it's imprinted on the box of Holy Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
Oh, this is fantastic. I encourage everyone, nay, I implore everyone, to go to SarahXDillon.com and look at this photo for Indiana Jones 4, which is still, as of yet, untitled. Oh, they're just screwing with us now.
I know, bastards.
It's a box. It's the box holding the Ark of the Covenant, and it's just Indy's hat and his whip.
And it's, well, and Brandon, it says property of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and then it just says Memorial Day 2008. He's back. Oh, that's cool. All right, back after this, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley in mere moments at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll talk to Clyde Lewis. We'll have the top five, and we'll do a pile of news you could not possibly care less about. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Mr. T Experience. Don't go anywhere. This is all Scotty here. This is the theme song to Fish, the short-lived spinoff of the Barney Miller Show. Apparently, they did show his wife, Bernice. Also, the actor who played, it was not Kim Sue, his name was Jack, actually. Jack Sue, and then who was the other guy? Wojciechowicz. Forgot all about him. That's a great show. Is Barney Miller on anywhere? It seems like one of those things that was on TV land for a while, but I don't know what it is at this point. All right. I'm going to spring this on Kastenbaum tomorrow as his theme song. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way at the Ministry of Truth. This is Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A bluebird has knocked out the power in Corvallis. A bluebird apparently has caused a widespread power outage in Corvallis, leaving thousands of Pacific Power customers without electricity. Many businesses in the area remain closed, some open for customers with the help of generators. According to the police dispatcher, no accidents or emergencies have been reported. The bluebird suddenly made an unfortunate connection between transformers at Pacific Power's Grant Street substation, blowing out an insulator.
That was the bluebird of unhappiness.
Yes, the entire substation was taken out by the bluebird.
Come on! Fine. Don't laugh.
All right, I won't.
It didn't really deserve a laugh.
Well, five teenage boys have been arrested following a burglary at McNary High School as part of an alleged plot to steal chemicals to make bombs, as kids will do. Two of the teens who stopped by police who spotted them walking out at 4:30 in the morning, that's in violation of curfew laws, they had backpacks and appeared suspicious. Leaving school at 4:30 in the morning, that is suspicious. They found several chemicals in various glass and plastic containers inside those backpacks. Two of the teens entered the high school while three others acted as lookouts using handheld radios to communicate. A similar burglary occurred Friday at the Claggett Creek Middle School.
Claggett Creek?
Claggett Creek.
Is that right next to the cement pond?
It could be, yes.
Okay, well, whatever.
So these suspects are 15 and 13.
That's pretty well organized, though. I mean, they had handheld devices, and they were busy, you know, they were at 4:30 in the morning. I mean,
appearing suspicious at 4:30 in the morning is a hard thing not to do.
I mean, really, and I couldn't even get out of bed to go to school when I was supposed to. It's 7 in the morning. The idea of getting up 2.5 hours earlier, I mean, is sort of admirable in a perverse way. Where was it at? The bomb making?
Yeah, let's see, the Kaiser. This is Kaiser.
And where is that exactly?
It's next to Corvallis where the Bluebird knocked out all the power.
I see. So all the bad is coming from Florida and that area.
Oh, I got tons of Florida
Fantastic.
Stuff.
Fantastic.
We haven't even opened up the Florida news book yet.
Excellent.
Some good news, well, kind of. That guy who was paralyzed during that attempted robbery in Southeast has been finally released from the hospital. Chester Yeom has been moved to a care home in Tigard. He was shot while working at the Belmont Market. The shooting left him paralyzed from the neck down. So four people still face charges. So, yeah, that's not for now. Isn't there any good news? Yes, there is. This involves a little puppy dog. A joyful reunion between a lost puppy and a vacationing Nevada family has everybody relieved. The family have returned home to Nevada after a weekend's sad ending.
Wait, maybe, hold on. Maybe I'll find some, let me find some cheerful music for the puppy. Wait, hold on.
Puppy reunion.
No, that's
losing the puppy.
That's really wrong. That's entirely, hold on, where's my lighthearted music?
I'll send you some tonight so we have some more. I have some at home.
I'll just whistle something. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, the family returned home to Nevada after a weekend's sad ending here in Oregon. Their 9-month-old puppy was rescued from beneath an abandoned trailer, leading to the joyful reunion. Nobody was sure how the small dog got from Bend to Malakin, which is west on Highway 20. I don't know where these places are. Becky Vaughn of Bend's Horizon Pet Service, who says it's amazing he survived with the number of coyotes in Oregon. The Nevada family lost Krusty when he got out of his crate. They turned around and retraced their route, even spending the night in Bend, posting flyers all over the place. To no avail, the family was convinced that the pooch must have tried to follow them east into the desert. So, he was found 30 miles from where he was lost.
Well, it's almost weird. You always hear those stories, which might be apocryphal, but those stories about, and then Scraps followed them 1,800 miles across sagebrush and showed up at their door one day. And, like, you always know that those stories are probably fake and crap and so forth, but you believe them anyway because it's just the right thing to do.
Okay. That's just it, and it should surprise no one. I guess this would be part of the Battle Watch if we had one.
Shall we launch the... Here's your Battle Watch for Monday right here in the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. Won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
And the title pretty much says it all. Half of the small arms given by the U.S. to the Iraqis are unaccounted for.
Fantastic.
The U.S. government cannot account for more than half the small arms given to Iraqis in hopes of bolstering their security forces, raising fears the weapons may have found their way to insurgent groups. Imagine that. This disclosure was made by the Government Accountability Office. The top U.S. military commander in the country, General Davis Patriots, whatever his name is, and U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker are going to report to Congress in September about this.
Do you find it interesting that 120,000 guns are missing and that's being told to us by the Department of Accountability?
Mm-hmm. Now, the United States has spent $19.2 billion since the beginning of the war to stand up Iraqi forces. In total, at least $2.8 billion was used to purchase and transport weapons and other military equipment necessary to improve the Iraqi arsenal.
Yes, because nothing brings more safety to a region than by filling it with handguns.
Mm-hmm. Part of the money was used to purchase and distribute to Iraqis about 185,000 Soviet-designed AK-47 assault rifles and 170,000 pistols. Mm-hmm. But now, the Department of Defense could not fully account for at least 190,000 of these weapons, or more than 50% of what we gave them. Also missing, 135,000 items of body armor out of a total of 215,000, despite the fact that even some U.S. soldiers don't even have these.
That's
but
okay.
We're giving them away to other people who weren't wearing them.
I wouldn't worry about the 200,000 missing guns. We'll find them, you know, soon enough, being pointed at our troops by people that are purportedly our allies.
Mm-hmm. They noted in a recent study that black market sales of small arms has increased in Iraq, most notably right before the 2005 elections.
I'm stunned.
And 20% of all U.S. troop casualties since the invasion have been caused by small arms attacks.
Jesus, of course.
By our own guns.
Well, they're sitting there in that same warehouse with all that missing Soviet plutonium. Boy, that's a story that they floated for a while, and it's probably true, by the way. They mentioned it, and then it just sort of went away, and they haven't talked about it again. That since the fall of the Soviet Union, this is just like tons and tons and tons of plutonium, you know, which is what you make, what are those things called? Nuclear weapons out of.
Dirty bomb.
And it's just sort of gone.
Yeah.
Sort of gone. Somewhere in the world, some guy has it sitting in his fruit cellar, just waiting for a particularly bleak day so he can use it all. All right.
That's the battle watch for now.
Your battle watch for Monday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Let me ask you this, just as sort of a sidetrack here.
Yes.
So it says, Scotty does this occasionally, I just now noticed it. It says here on the screen, I'll be back in a few, which is a thing he puts up to let me know if he's going to be out of the room, so if the lines aren't, so if there's calls on hold, because they auto-hold. If you call in, I think it rings twice, and then they automatically go on hold or something, and then he screens them later. It occurs to me now that I don't really know what he's doing when he types up on the screen, I'll be back in a few.
And he did just use the facilities. I saw him in the hallway.
Oh, so it's not a bathroom, not bathroom break.
Unless he's having a problem he hasn't told us about.
Oh, my.
Unless he's in need of a corking. I'm trying to think if he doesn't do Letterman until later in the day. He processed that Letterman thing. He's done, I mean, all of
And we're going out to lunch today, so he's not making lunch.
That's true. We're eating after the program, so I know he's not...
Yep, we've been all looking forward to that all weekend.
Creating food for himself, putting up the podcast. He does do a lot of work, but all of that, about 98% of his work requires sitting in that same room. He just used the bathroom. What could he possibly, and I know he's not there now because he's not typing back to me on the screen, what could he possibly be out of that room for right now?
I don't know.
I think we need to get somebody else. I think we need to hire somebody else who's underneath Scotty just to keep track of him. Yeah, I'm not a spy so much as a spy.
Our own Stasi.
Our own Mossad.
You know what we should do?
I don't know, but I want to hire somebody and call him like the Mossad of the AM970 staff, yes?
We should secretly videotape Scotty's room while he's in there.
Okay, I'm sold.
Because he's not in there right now, so hopefully he can't hear us.
He won't be hearing this right now.
Yeah.
All right, that's a fantastic idea. All right, excellent. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's see. Some people who have been trapped in a mine that had caved in. Rescue efforts are underway in Huntington, Utah, where six miners are trapped about 2,000 or 3,000 feet underground. They were trapped after the mine caved in following a 4.0 earthquake in Utah. David McAteer with the Mine Safety and Health Administration of Utah said the earthquake didn't necessarily cause this collapse.
This is an area that has about 1,500 feet of cover, but it is also an area that is prone to shifts of rock. It's not certain whether this was a fact that an earthquake occurred first or whether there was a rock burst, and then the rock burst caused the reading of the earthquake.
All right.
Well, that just sounds grim regardless.
It is.
But, I mean, are they alive? Are they getting them out?
They don't know.
Well, that's fantastic.
We'll find out.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi, it's Billy.
Hi.
Say, I have a suggestion for something in London, I think. Just listening to the show,
yeah.
I think you'll probably like it. There's two things in this place. It's called the London Underground. The first place is sort of like a wax museum, but it's all horror displays, meaning not scary stuff.
I'm sorry.
The best part of it is there's a deal down there called the Jack the Ripper Experience.
Wait, hold on. Did you say horror or whore?
Whore as with an H, not like a woman, prostitute, whore. It's all like
they both
the
H's,
worst criminals,
know.
Monsters, things like that. But what I think you'd really like is the Jack the Ripper Experience.
Yeah, I'm less interested now. There is a Jack the Ripper tour. There's a tour of the Whitechapel area. Which I think is actually, we found it like jacktheripertour.com or something, where you can actually tour the Jack the Ripper area. So this is, but it's called what, the London Underground?
The London Underground, and it's fantastic. It's literally underground, it's dark, it's creepy. Right up your alley, buddy.
Excellent, all right. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. I guess the Jack the Ripper, thing, you sort of get your horror and your horror all at once there, though. So two birds with one stone, as they say. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's something you can be thankful that you missed. The Republicans had a debate over the weekend.
I was going to talk to Lisa about it, but then we got all sidetracked talking about 3 o'clock high and Oingo Boingo, and then Steve Kastenbaum was calling.
Let me give you the abbreviated version.
Okay. Okay.
Because...
Did you watch it?
No. Their ideology is just so bankrupt. I mean, you think the Democrats are bad. The Republicans have two topics, and they only beat up on each other about abortion, which isn't bad for them.
This is a core issue for our party. I think it's a big issue for our country. I'm pro-life and I'm whole life. I think that all life
I'm whole
all
life?
Ages is sacred and it's beautiful. I think it's something we ought to fight for. It's what this party has stood for.
I don't even know who that is.
Brownback.
Okay, but he's pro-life and whole life?
He supports abortion rights. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't support abortion rights.
I don't even know.
I don't think the Republicans do.
But they...
That would entail having a woman make decisions about her own body. They would be totally against that.
No, of course not. Because as somebody once said, really, the Republican platform seems to be that women should be a broodmare for the state. So
in
that's
a missionary
sort of...
position, if you please. After you serve cocktails.
It's the... Okay, but seriously, can you play that cut one more time? Because I don't know what the
I'd
hell he's saying.
To, sure.
All right.
This is a core issue for our party. I think it's a big issue for our country. I'm pro-life and I'm whole life. I think that all life at all stages is sacred and it's beautiful. I think it's something we ought to fight for. It's what this party has stood for.
Oh, whole life. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to turn it over in my head there. Whole life.
Now
oh,
you think
okay.
of whole foods. That's
yeah,
a supermarket.
Seriously. So whole life. So okay. So he is. So he is opposed to abortion rights, and he all. And that also, by the way, when he says he's whole life, that's also code for someday when I'm like riddled with tumors and I weigh 15 pounds. He's opposed to me being able to have assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. Just wants me to hang on and suffer to the bitter end and bankrupt my family while I'm at it. Thanks. Sure. Thanks so much for that.
So basically, they argued about that all together for like an hour or so.
Well, you know why? Because that's the only, because that's the wedge issue they're going to try to use to get Giuliani out of the race.
Yeah.
That's it. That's right. Totally why they did this. Right. Did you see, and I admit that I have not watched it, but I read a lot about it in the blogosphere, that Mitt Romney was being interviewed on some radio station.
Oh, and you lost it?
Well, I didn't. It's that he was being interviewed on some radio show, and maybe it's tedious. I should probably listen to it before we play, because it might just be boring. Yeah. But apparently he was being interviewed on some radio station. They go to break, or the interview's over. He doesn't realize that there's a webcam, though, in the studio. Mm-hmm. And the host, like, continues, like, pushing him on the Mormon religion when they're off the air, but they're still on the webcam. And I guess, I don't know if he lost it, but I guess Romney got very, very snappy at him about it. Because Romney, as they put it, doesn't want his candidacy to hinge on all of the nutty beliefs that the Mormon Church clings to, mm-hmm. which are, by the way, they are endless and nutty, as they are with every faith. But in this case, we're talking about Mitt Romney and the Mormon Church. So he doesn't, he doesn't want to have to defend the fact that they think that Jesus is returning to Missouri. Or that God, in fact, lives on a planet called Kolob. So these are all things that he doesn't really want to come out because it'll make them look like crazy nutcases. But this issue of Roe v. Wade, that's what they're going to use to push Giuliani out with, because Giuliani is, of course, he gets labeled as a conservative, but of course he's not really a conservative in any real sense of the word. He's only a conservative in the sense that he's for the war on terror and he likes to beat up on homeless guys. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much it. But if they can make that the wedge issue, that's what they'll use to kick them out with. So that's probably why they're all sort of allied on that. Do we have other cuts from the GOP debate?
Oh, we do.
Fantastic.
Oh, and this other thing, speaking of Giuliani, his daughter has signaled she's backing Barack Obama on her Facebook website. She says, apparently her profile is viewed by Facebook users who have access to New York's Trinity High School and Harvard University. She is Giuliani's daughter with his second wife, Donna Hanover. So whatever that means.
Do you suppose that the candidates just they just long for the days when their troublemaking relatives could just be stifled? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When the press couldn't figure out that your daughter was gay or supporting your opposition or something, or that you had some like secret wife when you were like 21 with whom you had 3 bastard children or something. I mean, all that stuff comes out of there. There's just no way to keep it all quiet. Can you imagine? You know what would be interesting is just to have some sort of alternate reality. Some sort of alternate reality pseudo-biography or something. Like, if you could... Here's a great idea for a TV show. And this would appeal to political junkies like myself, like you, Lisa Goddard. They should have some sort of a TV show, some pseudo-reality show. I shouldn't even be saying this on the air. I should just be keeping this idea for myself. They should have some pseudo-reality show that covers political candidates of the past as though they were living in today's media-saturated environment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because think if Kennedy had been covered the way that candidates are covered now. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no way that guy ever would have gotten elected. Or if they knew that Abraham Lincoln kept his crazy wife chained up in the White House basement. If they knew. Because, you know, who was the guy in the, was it Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Was he in the chair?
Yes.
See the guy in the wheelchair? I only know him from the movie Annie. That's really all of my knowledge about FDR comes from that. But, you know, like 80% of the country had no idea he was in a wheelchair. None. Zero. Didn't know at all.
At least till like 1944.
Yeah, because
right before he almost died.
Because they only heard him on the radio.
Yeah.
And so it's just the idea of going back and looking at those candidates now through the prism of media saturation that we have today would just be fascinating. All right. Do we have more GOP stuff?
Oh, we do.
Wonderful.
So here's some guy that shouldn't be a Republican at all. Ron Paul of Texas said the war in Iraq has gone far enough.
We went in there illegally. We did not declare war. It's lasting way too long. We didn't declare war in Korea or Vietnam. The wars were never really ended. We lose those wars. We're losing this one. We shouldn't be there. We ought to just come home.
Why is he a Republican again?
I don't know. That's a good question. And he's from Texas.
Like over there, shouldn't they be taking away his R card or something? Or seizing it back?
Romney says he doesn't like Obama's idea of talking with people who oppose us.
Barack Obama's confused as to who are our friends and who are our enemies. In his first year, he wants to meet with Castro and Chavez and Assad, Ahmadinejad. Those are our enemies. Those are the world's worst tyrants.
Yeah, so let's not talk to them.
All right.
Then this other candidate named Hunter said the reason why a children's health care bill was defeated was because they don't want to extend socialized medicine.
You're going to see a lot of $525 wrist braces if we continue to pass this S-CHIP, which really is the first extension of socialized medicine. This is socialized medicine. It's going to go to families that make $60,000 a year. Those aren't poor children.
You know, the children just don't want to work, Tim. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Here's all you need to know about Duncan Hunter is he is the pervert candidate of Ann Coulter. So that's which really is sort of the endorsement I would imagine no one wants at this point. But, you know, what are you going to do? All right.
So this Republican named Paul said Vice President Cheney has too much power.
Most people there behind the scenes think the vice president is more powerful than the president. Philosophically, I think this is the case. It's obvious that he represents the neoconservative viewpoint.
Have you seen that photograph, that new creepy Dick Cheney photograph?
No.
Our good friend Thomas sent this to me. I'll send it to you here. It's fantastic. It's another one of those photographs, and this was from Thursday when Bush was doing the press conference about the wiretapping, where you're talking about, I need to be able to listen, and I'm doing my Clinton, but whatever it is. He was talking about that, and it's another one of those photographs where Bush is speaking, and Cheney is just lurking in the background, like doing the Jedi mind crap on him. Let me send this to you right now. Let's see. Forward. It's wonderful because Bush is up there just sort of looking mindless, as he always does. And then Cheney is just such a terrifying, glowering figure in the background. I mean, the guy is just so unbelievably creepy. Hold on, Tim. All right. And Sarah. All right. I have sent you this creepy Dick Cheney photograph. It'll be in your mailbox now. I'll get it posted
on
my...
Yeah,
I'll get it.
Which mailbox?
I sent it to your off-air one.
Oh.
Now, are you looking at that?
Yeah.
How great is that? Where Bush is talking, and Bush sort of looks like Bush sort of looks like one of those guys from 28 Days After, by the way. His eyes are all blackened. Just take a look at this picture of Dick Cheney.
Oh, and he looks like a zombie Cheney.
I know. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. And thank you. Go F yourself. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So a couple more here. Let's see. Oh, where am I? Oh, John McCain says that isn't true. Vice President Cheney's power.
Who?
President Cheney's power is very limited.
Who's
Vice President really only has two duties. One is to cast a tie-breaking vote in the case of a tie vote in the Senate, and the other is to inquire daily as to the health of the president.
Yeah, that's all he does.
Oh,
that's
John McCain.
John McCain.
I forgot he existed there for a second.
Yeah.
All right.
Off we go now to Florida.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought we were waiting. Oh, I choked. I totally choked.
Hit the wrong button, Rick. Oh, come on. That's just pathetic.
I was waiting to step fashionably late.
Republican Allen said he feared black men in a park. This is from Tampa. Police released a taped statements from Republican Senate leader accused of trying to buy sex in the men's room. Republican State Representative Bob Allen, everyone named Allen is always in trouble. It's too white, I guess. Says he is feeling nervous and offered sex to get away from a black man he was afraid of. Now, Allen
there's so
chairs,
many layers of comedy in that.
Allen
sentence.
Chairs the in-house Energy Committee and co-chair Senator John McCain presidential campaign in Florida. He is the police union's 2007 lawmaker of the year, and he recently sponsored a bill to crack down on sex in public parks. He told police he did offer sex to an undercover cop in the public park's men's room. Quote, he goes, you want $20? If I give you a I'm like, I don't want but I'll tell you, I'll give you one. What if I give you one? Asked Allen.
I don't understand. Who? This is the most confusing quote.
Okay, apparently he's talking to the undercover cop.
First of all, I can't. And this is not really an admonition on any kind of behavior, any sort of a particular orientation. Just, I don't care whether you're gay or straight or in between. Just, a public bathroom seems like a really unappealing place to engage in any sort of intimate conduct like that. I mean, unless I got a really strong air wick going in there. All right, so was it he who asked the cop about receiving oral favor, or the cop asked him?
Let's see, he goes... you want $20? Okay. Apparently, he asked the cop.
So he asked the cop, and the cop said
no.
No. And then he made
you,
like,
I can give you one.
So the cop turned it down. So the guy made a follow up offer. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Well, Allen didn't know he was talking to a policeman until he pulled out his badge.
Ah!
He explained his behavior shortly after his arrest. This undercover police officer was a pretty stocky black guy, and there are other black guys around the park. You know, Allen said he was also frightened of the weather, so he ran into the men's room.
Frightened of the weather.
He said the building is safer than staying out there, so I went back in and sat down.
So
it was a black man in the restroom, too. So he had his choice of the black man outside the restroom or the black man inside the restroom.
I'm so unclear about this. Mm. So he ran, this is in Florida, and this guy, he's a Republican representative.
Yes.
So he ran into the bathroom to get away from both weather and black men, both of which he deemed to be, quote, scary.
Right. But apparently this...
But the man to whom he offered oral sex was, in fact, himself black.
Yes. Maybe it's not as scary inside the restroom.
Maybe it was the good kind of scary.
He was frightened with the weather, so he fled into the men's room. The building is safer than staying out there, so I went in and I sat down.
Fled right into the groin of a huge black man.
So he said he offered the man in the men's room what he thought he wanted. Of course, out of all things that a man would want in a restroom.
Of course.
A black man in a restroom.
You're a black man in a restroom, and there can only be one reason you're here.
He did it so he could get out safely. I went, I'm about to become a statistic. You catch all kinds of people. So a legislator is like, whoa.
That's fantastic. And by the way, he was, in fact, about to become a statistic. He just didn't know what kind of statistic. The statistic is one of the many thousands of right-wingers who are convicted every year trying to solicit sex in parks.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
We had a request.
By the way, Allen sponsored 6 different sex crime bills this year, 3 focused on indecent exposure and soliciting sex.
Well, focus on what you know, Tim.
He'll keep fighting this in court.
I love the idea that he was. Do we have Sarah? Do you have that? Do you have that song? Mm-hmm. I love the idea that he was scared of both the weather and black men simultaneously. There's only one word for that, Tim.
I don't
even know what we're going to use it for. But here's the thing.
The world is
We probably should wait and talk about this at 1 o'clock. I'm going to make a little note to myself.
We must talk about it because I had dreams with this song in my head.
No, I'm going to make a little note to myself.
Yesterday, chocolate rain.
All right,
we'll come back to it.
One more, and then we'll take a break.
Well, the stars who give Hollywood studios the biggest bang for the buck aren't some who are frequently listed as top box office draws. A new survey out by Forbes magazine finds actor Matt Damon offers the best return for the money.
Matt Damon!
The magazine reports for every dollar the star has paid in his last three roles, the films return $29 in gross income. That's more than twice that of Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks. When it comes to actresses, Jennifer Aniston is top ranked with a gross income return of $17.
So this is like a return on investment graph.
At the opposite end, Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey, and Will Ferrell.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the Will Ferrell surprises me.
I know.
I wonder, is that because his movies... Is this just box office, or is this DVD gross, too, do you suppose? Because I see Will Ferrell...
It doesn't specify.
I can see Will Ferrell movies performing one way at the box office,
oh,
but getting...
Oh, box office.
Yeah, see, I see Will Ferrell movies doing decent box office, but getting most of their money on DVD. Because I own many more Will Ferrell films than I saw in the theater. Also, I can't imagine anybody at this point going to see a movie because it's got Jim Carrey in it. He sort of seems to... I already actually lost his agent. Like a couple weeks ago, which is strange. So there's that. And then the idea that who was number one?
Matt Damon.
From Matt Damon. So did anybody see The Bourne Blah Blah Diddy?
No, but it was the biggest movie. It made something like 70 million.
It was like the,
really?
It was like the biggest August opening in the history of the world. I mean, it was like the biggest August opening
70.
ever.
70.2 million, followed by The Simpsons movie. And it looks like Transformers has made more money than the Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
$296 million versus $260
million. Yeah, it's it had that huge, because it had a huge opening that first week. I mean, I have nothing against Matt Damon or the Bourne whatever movies. I'm not much of a spy movie fan, to be honest. I'm not really into spy flicks. But it's not that I expect it to be bad. I just hadn't really thought about it, especially because it's the third movie in a series. And really, when do you hear about, like, the second sequel to something? Doing that kind of business, it made like $70.5 million. It's unreal. I mean, I might actually see it just based on those numbers, which I know makes me sound like a retard. But Matt Damon doesn't typically make bad movies either. I can't think of the last bad movie Matt Damon made. Mm-hmm. Even movies that I'm not especially into, it seems like all the movies he makes, are quality. I don't think Matt Damon has made. I'm trying to think if he's made like a real clunker.
No.
Anybody? Bad Matt Damon film?
You're thinking about Ben Affleck.
No, I'm not. Because you know why? No one thinks about Ben Affleck at this point. Ben Affleck has gone into the... Did you ever do this? Did you ever boot up your Windows XP machine? I know you haven't, Tim.
No.
You boot up... Sam, those of us who live in Bill Gates' world, sometimes you'll fire up your machine if you're running Windows XP, and a little balloon will come up and it will say, there are unused icons on your desktop. Click here to remove these icons. And what it basically means is that it's a program or an icon that you haven't clicked on or used in like 5 months. And if you haven't clicked on the icon or used that program in like 5 or 6 months, a little balloon comes up and they offer to get rid of those icons for you so you're not so they're not in your way, so they're not cluttering things. Ben Affleck is an icon I haven't clicked on in quite some time. And so my mental operating system has just put him into some sort of a rarely used folder inside my head.
So at the same time, you can't forget about these DVD rounds. This is a huge market, too, because Zodiac made $6.69 million in rental fees. I mean, you can always regroup your costs somehow.
Yeah. Well, you know, David Fincher films, Fincher who made Zodiac, 7, Fight Club, The Game. Fincher films, I think every single David Fincher film has made more on DVD than it did in the theater. Because his movies are great, but they're not big family-friendly films. He doesn't make big crowd-pleasers. He just doesn't. I mean, even a film like Fight Club, which is probably the closest thing he's made to a mainstream film, that appeals to a kind of a specific audience. So, let's get a couple of these calls here, and then we'll take a break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show about the Bourne Ultimatum.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, have you seen the first two Bourne films?
No, I haven't.
Okay, they're really good, and they're not so much a spy film as much as he was, an assassin that lost his memory, and so he's trying to figure out what's going on. It's less about, KGB, that cliche kind of spy
right.
stuff. It is about just him whooping butt,
All right.
But the reason I think the third one's doing so well is the three of the movies are based on a trilogy of books.
And is it true that the third Bourne Ultimatum takes place, like, literally 10 minutes after the second one?
I believe so, yeah.
That's pretty cool. See, I like it. And I, some people I know who are filmmakers have kind of raved about it. So I might actually see it based on their recommendation and the fact that everybody's sort of into it. So, excellent.
Yeah, the books are pretty solid. So I mean, when it's already written for you, it's hard to really mess it up in a movie, you know?
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, and one more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I didn't see it just specifically because it looks stupid, but what's the movie where Matt Damon is like a Siamese twin with Greg Kinnear?
Oh,
all sorts of
Stuck on You.
Is that what it is?
Stuck on You, and I don't think it was made by the Farrelly brothers, but I think it was produced by the Farrelly brothers of Something About Mary fame.
It just looked like it was all sorts of awful.
You know what I never saw? Speaking of Siamese twins and or whatever, the sort of guys with weird conditions, I never saw that Bubble Boy movie, which I've heard is fantastic.
I've seen pieces of it, and what I did see was very funny.
I mean, I've heard that it's unbelievably bad, but that it's fantastic. So,
I saw the Bubble Boy movie with John Travolta back in 1980, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, where he kisses the girl through the bubble, and it's all heartbreaking because and then at the end, does he die at the end of that?
I don't know. I was 11. I wanted to see Smokey and the Bandit again.
Ha! Thank you. Bye now. There you go. All right.
Wow, there's some glossy PR thing about this new show, The Company, about the history of the CIA.
The Company, which is based on a novel by, what's the guy? The guy's name, based on the novel by Robert Littell, which is one of those things that's been recommended to me. Sarah's clenching her fists. Tiny angry balls of rage over there. What's up?
Well, we're about 15 minutes behind our break.
Oh.
I just want to keep on track.
Hello. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, more news from Tim. This is an interesting
It's glossy. Mm-hmm.
It's like this is printed on rice paper or something.
It premiered last night.
Listen to that.
Which means it'll probably be repeated like every 4 hours.
You hear that? It's an interesting kind of paper being used to print today's New York Times.
That's from the Sunday.
Take that, NPR. All right, back after this. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Tim Riley returns momentarily. Stay there.
That's
how the defense always goes. That's the justification. Well, they're nerdier than I am. It's okay. I do the same thing. I'll wait until I'm completely caught up with a show. I won't ever go onto a message board for a TV show until I'm 100% caught up. Because I don't want to get, you don't want to have something inadvertently spoiled for you. But yeah, as soon as I'm caught up, with it, whatever it is, whether it's The Wire or Damages or The Shield or anything, man, I'm, like, I will do this. Like, if the show ends at 11 o'clock, like at 11:02, I'm logged into a message board sometime, trying to figure out like if it's some sort of a vague ending or some sort of a deliberately puzzling kind of cliffhanger. Yeah, I'll totally do that. Hey, by the way, so we got a whole bunch of stuff we're giving away this week. It really is going to be a hectic couple of weeks. Hectic's the wrong word, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So we're giving away tickets to see Night Ranger this coming Saturday, the 14th Annual Neon Nights Music Festival, August 11th, Riverfront Park, The Dalles, Oregon. So we got a few pair of tickets to see Night Ranger this coming Saturday. We're going to be doing that. We have Rockfest tickets. We're continuing to give away Rockfest the 12th, which is happening August 26th. And then, so at the top of the show, we'll continue with the news here in a second, but I got to mention this. So at the top of the program, we were talking about this guy, Jake Brown, who everybody is talking about because he did that 45-foot, like, straight-down crash in Los Angeles when he was into the X Games. So his next performance, his comeback performance, is actually at the AST Do Tour, which is coming up. It's going to be August 16th through the 19th. We're giving away tickets for that as well. But you got to be a glorious bastard to win those. You got to go to 970.am, 970.am, and register to be an AM 970 glorious bastard. We're giving away tickets to the Do Tour all this week, and that is going to be right here from KGW. It says, the skateboarder who took the epic fall during the X Games that was seen around the world is setting his sights on Portland's upcoming Do Tour as his comeback performance. So there you go. So that's going to be August 16th through the 19th. We're giving away those tickets. You got to go to 970.am. This is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, a couple of Florida stories. 400 Hollywood swimmers have been stung by jellyfish. Yes, a jellyfish warning is now in effect for beachgoers. After 400 swimmers were stung by the fish over the weekend, lifeguards scrubbed hundreds of people with white vinegar, which is known to soothe the painful stings. Lifeguards made several runs to get more vinegar after hundreds of people began to struggle with the stings of pain.
Now, I thought that jellyfish didn't sting you. I thought that was like, what are those things called? Man of Wars or Man of Wars? Whatever it is.
Doesn't say.
All right, I don't know.
Well, you can avoid being stung and do not rub fresh water on the wound because it'll reactivate the toxin poison.
Fantastic.
Benadryl and cortisone cream are also used to treat the stings.
The only thing I know about jellyfish, it all comes out of old Flipper reruns. That's where the extent of my jellyfish knowledge lies.
A Naples, Florida man giving a 20-year-old woman a driving lesson had to be airlifted to the hospital after the woman ran him over. Daniel Tanner was teaching Victoria Hussner how to drive when she suddenly hit the gas pedal and accelerated backwards. Tanner was standing behind the vehicle and was knocked to the ground.
Fantastic.
She ran over his leg. It was a total accident, said Victoria's husband. She'll continue to drive in, she continued to drive in reverse and caused $6,000 in damage to property.
That's wonderful.
You can see that happening. Deputy thought Hossner's eyes were bloodshot and her breath reeked of alcohol.
Not just a little alcohol. Her breath reeked of alcohol.
Well, it turned out it was .146 above Florida's 0.08 legal limit, so she was taking a driving lesson drunk.
Look, I'm going to teach you how to drive, but you may need a couple of stiff cocktails beforehand.
A man in Tampa was robbed of his pants after he was attacked by a pistol-whipping man.
This is Tampa where?
Tampa, Florida.
Yeah! That's right.
So these guys, ages 17 and 18, were standing outside with three men with guns, ordered them into an apartment. Once inside, the robbers demanded money and forced the 18-year-old to hand over his pants. After they took off by car, the robbers rammed a police cruiser but kept going until the driver lost control and ended up stuck in a ditch. Then they took off and foot were caught after a few minutes.
Rick, about Matt Damon, you must have forgotten all about the talented Mr. Ripley. I think I like that movie, but I can't remember. I don't really remember anything about it. Said I would rather be humped by my father-in-law again than watch that dreck.
Again?
And he signed it, F Matt with my drunken neck-kissing father-in-law. Okay. Well done, sir. Thank you.
Cocoa Beach, Florida man suffering from bipolar disorder has been arrested by the Secret Service in Washington, D.C. after he jumped over the fence at the White House. Justin Arrieta was taken into custody by the Secret Service. He wasn't fully clothed when he was arrested. And his family said he wasn't taking his medication. And he went to see the president because he thought the president planted a microchip in his head. It wasn't the president. It was probably Dick Cheney. The president was at the presidential retreat in Camp David when the incident occurred. Nobody was hurt. Oh, then we have the House passing legislation expanding. Now, wait a minute. Isn't the House controlled by Democrats? The House passed legislation Saturday expanding the government's authority to carry out electronic surveillance without a court order.
Thanks.
When tracking foreign suspects, like they're going to stop at that. Deputy White House Press Secretary Dana Perino said this bill has solely to do with only foreign targets, not those who live in America.
That had solely to do with going after foreign targets in foreign locations for foreign intelligence surveillance.
Oh, so, Dana, what happens if authorities accidentally tap into a Native American's phone call?
Well, there's been for decades
a Native American's
phone call.
The community
has had what are called minimization procedures, which if they hear that, they have to hang up. They do their procedures to report that. And if they want to continue listening in, they have to go and get a warrant.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll
they'll do that.
Yeah, sure.
There's a big line for that.
I can't quit touching this paper in the New York Times.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean paper like the actual, like the
so
whole
you can
newspaper.
Keep that.
I mean literally this one page, and it's just an ad. It's an ad for this upcoming show on TNT. And
actually, it started last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are they going to be rerunning it endlessly?
Well, they do, yeah. It's cable.
So this is The Company, Friend, Enemy, Hero, Traitor, starring Chris O'Donnell, formerly known as the Nippled Robin from the Batman movies, Michael Keaton and Alfred Molina. Michael Keaton, of course, everybody knows. And then Alfred Molina was Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2, and he was also Eddie Nash.
He was in Happy Days.
Alfred Molina?
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
As who?
Wasn't he Al?
No.
Oh.
Wait, but who was that? Who? You mean Al who ran the...
Yeah.
Hold on. Now I'm totally blowing my Gen X credentials. Hold on. Who on Happy Days,
mm-hmm.
who owned... Was it... Stop and get a hold of myself now. Was it Pat Morita or the white guy who was there first that ran that
I think
that
it was the white guy.
And then did he die? No, because why would... He wouldn't have just left the show. Why did Pat Morita then come onto the program? This can't be him because... That guy must be dead, because why else would he no longer have been in the show and would it have suddenly become Pat Morita?
Maybe he sold out to the Japanese.
as everyone in Milwaukee did.
Yes.
Okay, well, whatever. I don't think so.
No, I'm curious.
No, because that guy was like 60 years already, and people younger than myself will know that as he's the guy in the Weezer video for Buddy Holly. He's the guy who's running Al's, and, you know, and he says, you know, Kenosha, Wisconsin's own Weezer, that guy. Except he was already really old, and I'm looking at, what's his name, Alfred Molina, who, again, Alfred Molina is also known as the guy in Boogie Nights who's up in the Hollywood Hills shooting off the gun to Night Ranger.
Al Molinaro.
No, this is Al Molina. Two different guys. Is Al Molinaro dead? The guy from Happy Days?
No, he's still alive. He was born in 1919. Unless nobody updated his,
what
his IMDb
just
file.
So obscure. He's just been rotting away in, rotting away in a Craftmatic for 10 years.
El Del Vecchio.
No one's
what's
ever noticed.
Name?
All right.
What was the explanation why he left Happy Days?
I don't know. And, you know, I could lie and say that I really cared, but I'm not really... Okay, now Scotty is claiming that Pat Morita had it first. That's not true because it was called Al's Restaurant the whole time, wasn't it? Wasn't it always... Look, I'm not like the world's biggest Happy Days fan, but I'm pretty sure... Listen to how Scotty sums up Pat Morita's life. Pat did the Karate Kid movie, then died. That's sort of a high-concept matchbook approach.
I think Scotty's wrong at this time. I know it's rare, but I think Al Molinaro, who was Al Vecchio...
Let's find out, shall we?
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me...
Little Boogie Nights there.
Good morning, Metolia.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, Scotty J., our intrepid PA. Good morning, Scotty, and how are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Mist.
Are you referring, Mist, are you referring to the mythical island made famous in the PC game of 1996?
No, it's a city.
Okay. So you're saying that Pat Morita owned the diner first before... What's his name? Before Al.
That's right.
I think you're wrong about
that. I totally forget what his name was on that show.
Pat Morita?
Yes.
I don't remember
Al.
Either.
No.
No, Al was the white guy.
Right.
Oh, that's
who
right.
had the weird...
Yeah. Big Al. Big Al's. Al's diner.
He was Arnold.
No, Al...
That's right. It was Arnold's diner to begin with, and then it changed to Al's.
Wait, so was Pat Morita Arnold?
Yes.
Really?
That's correct.
The Japanese man was named Arnold?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying that a Japanese man can't be named Arnold, but... Really? Are you sure about that?
And I don't know why. Maybe I really don't know why they changed and had Al come on because Pat was still alive and well back then. But maybe he didn't want to do the show anymore or whatever.
And then the guy who played Al on Happy Days, you know what he looked like? He looked like a real life version of Danny DeVito as the Penguin. Like, if you sort of look at that guy, he has the same weird, like his face, like there was sort of a, like his face kind of melted a little bit and everything sort of. Did a little landslide downward, except for the nose, which just became real pointy.
Right.
So,
who's the other guy from Winston or Churchill? No, that's not his name. But the guy from way back that had the cigar and the big nose all the time.
Jimmy Durante?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like
that.
Did
you just confuse Jimmy Durante with Winston Churchill? Really?
Well, they both had cigars, so.
Well done. That's fantastic. You are going to vote next year, aren't you?
Yep.
Fantastic.
I got to
sleep secure in that knowledge. Yes.
You also know what tomorrow is, Rick Emerson.
I know. We don't want to know. Sorry.
Oh, that's
tomorrow,
right.
Tomorrow, Scotty will be in his early 40s.
Tomorrow,
today is
Scotty.
Today's the last day. It's the 40-year-old Scotty.
Scotty J becomes a 40-something tomorrow. Yeah. 41 tomorrow. Are you stressed about it?
I feel old.
You going to be going out and drinking?
Sure.
Fantastic. No,
I was trying to get him to go out, but he doesn't think Mrs. J will let him.
Really? Is that true?
I don't know.
I want to take Scotty J out on the town.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was just calling to say that the place was called Arnold's and Pat Morita was there first, so Scotty's kind of right.
Okay, so it was Arnold's owned by Pat Morita, and then what did the Pat Morita character just vanish one day?
Oh, I think they came up with some storyline that he went back somewhere for some reason.
He was interned.
Yeah.
He can't be here. He's at Camp Topaz.
Yeah, and then Al came in but kept it named Arnold as far as the whole series went, as far as I remember.
I thought it was Al's.
No, the sign had a big A on it, and that's it. And so it went from Arnold's, which they always called it Arnold's, and then Al took over Arnold's. But the sign out front always had just the big A that was rotating in the opening credits.
Right. At this program, this show's just this point, we've just become a parody of ourselves now. We're just talking about the sign rotating out front of the diner on Happy Days. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Now, I'm all confused as to which character was which.
I don't even know anymore.
Huh?
Go ahead. Yes.
Well, you know, the fellow with the big nose, you know.
Churchill.
Italian Sicilian fellow, whoever he was.
The big Sicilian fellow, yes.
You were talking about him in confusion, thinking maybe he was like linked with one of the Spider-Man villains or something. And I was just thinking about how wonderful it would be if Al, or whatever his name was from Happy Days, just became one of the Spider-Man villains.
What would
in the old persona, just the affable, sad sack, sort of overweight, you know, middle-aged, aged, you know, Italian fellow.
What power could he possibly even have?
The power of malaise, perhaps. I don't know.
He would just sort of put you into a stupor.
Yeah,
into sort of
a
coma.
He would just be putting chocolate malts into the hands of children that were already overweight. I don't know.
And really. Then as he stood above your bleeding, whitening corpse, he would just kind of go, yeah, 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 and just sort of rub his hands on his apron and step over your bloated body on the way to the kitchen.
Aren't we ready for a Happy Days movie now? Isn't it time to bring that franchise back?
No, that'll never be Aaron Moran in here
as our guest.
Never, never. Oh, and the thing, the original reason I called was because that Chocolate Rain song, you brought that up in relation to another crooked Florida politician.
Yes, sir.
I can't keep them all straight. But I was just thinking,
so to speak.
The crooked politician from Florida of the week.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Scotty. But, happy on getting really, really, really old, Scotty. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Chocolate Rain should be for that politician, you know, as this story evolves. Since he's afraid of black men and the weather.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how long he stays in the news.
Well, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. There you go. Right.
So Al of Al's Diner is 88 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe you mean years young, Tim.
Young. So, Scotty, don't feel so bad.
You're only half his age. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'm here to bring total closure to this.
All right.
Al Molina, who you mentioned, who was in the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
He was... Throw me the idol. I throw you the whip.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. He was in Raiders.
We'll bring it all the way back down to Indiana Jones and say goodbye to the whole subject.
Excellent. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. If only you spoke Jovitos. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey. Scotty Amazing was right. Pat Morita had it first. It was Arnold. He was not named Arnold. It was actually an episode where he actually had a very traditional Japanese name, but he said the shirt came with the restaurant, so that's what they've always called me.
Really?
And then,
okay.
Yeah, really.
Okay.
This guy is Happy Days.
He sold it to Al because Al was actually a relative of Fonzie and Chachi.
That's what I thought.
And
you
then
did not say that.
Pat Morita, he went back to Japan, and then they sold it to Al. And that was all time with the rise and fall of the Karate Kid movies because he never had time for TV because he was making more money.
Mm-hmm. So the Pat Morita character sold the diner to Arnold, and then Pat Morita's character, who had a Japanese name, but who called himself Al because that was the shirt that came with the restaurant, eventually went back to Japan while Pat Morita was busy going to do the Karate Kid film.
Now, he was called Arnold. Pat Morita was Arnold because that's the shirt that was left when he originally bought it. And then when Al bought it, they switched. He went by Al, but it was still called Arnold.
Okay. And then the Pat Morita character went back to Japan while in real life Pat Morita did the Karate Kid film.
Correct.
All right. For the win, sir, do you remember Pat Morita's Japanese name then on Happy Days?
No. And it was a very traditional. It was like something Nakamura, and I can't remember his full name. But I remember the episode clearly, like it was only 60 years ago, where he told Rich Eagles, he was one of those, no, my name, not Arnold, it's, and he said the Japanese name, goes, just found shirt, went with it ever since.
Okay, that's actually kind of funny. All right, thank you, sir. All right, wonderful. All right.
See, Scotty, you were right.
I tell you what I was going to say. I was going to say.
Was it going to have the word Oregon in it?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to tell you that Al... And Arnold were, like, cousins or related. That's where I was mixed up a little bit. I knew there was a relation in there on how he got the restaurant.
They're not related. He just said that they weren't related.
But that's how I was only off a little bit realizing
it's
that.
It's that Al was related to both Arthur Fonzarelli
something like
and
that,
whatever,
yeah.
Chachi.
Yeah.
Because Chachi was Fonzie's, what, nephew, something?
Yes.
All right. Hey, while you're here, by the way, and believe me, you know that phrase, this hurts me more than it hurts you, Scotty?
Believe you me.
What?
Okay, go ahead.
This really does hurt me more than it hurts you. Apparently, you are correct about something on Friday that we said you were wrong about, on Thursday. Apparently, when we were talking about the death of American icon John Denver, apparently you stated that John Denver crashed into the ocean.
Into the drink.
Aaron sent us an email or called or something and said, no, you're wrong. It's that John Denver hit a mountain. And it is, by the way, very telling that we just instinctively believed that you, like, without even questioning it, we just assumed that Aaron was right and you were wrong. Apparently, you were, in fact, correct, and it is Aaron who was incorrect. John Denver did apparently just run out of gas and landed in the ocean. So, Scotty, so I take it back.
Does he win a prize?
So this is a first.
Yes, it is. And a last.
A year and plus.
So you were correct about the death of John Denver. So there you go.
I'm sorry to be correct about that.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. All right. Should we break here?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right.
I have a song to take us to break with.
Tim, how are we even remotely close to being halfway done with the news?
No, as a matter of fact, coming up, we're going to talk about the anniversary of the Son of Sam murders.
Really?
30 years ago, this summer.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, not excellent, but I mean...
We're no strangers to love.
Okay.
You know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm thinking of.
Back after this, we'll talk about you Chocolate Rain, more from Tim Riley, and stuff. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie.
Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. People have been asking about the skateboarding crash video. I don't think it's on my page at the moment. I'll post it later on today. But you can go to YouTube. You just type in Jake Brown. J-A-K-E-B-R-O-W-N. You type in Jake Brown, you'll get to see him fall 45 feet straight down. And the reason...
onto his back, too.
And the only reason we can sound so jubilant about it is because I think he just walked. He got up and walked away. And apparently, I have to go back and watch it again now because apparently both shoes come off. I only saw the one, but I guess both shoes just go flying. Still laced, though, from what one onlooker said. Anyway, his next appearance is going to be right here in Portland, August 16th through the 19th, is the part of the AST Do Tour, which is like an extreme sports kind of a thing. We're giving away tickets to see that. So if you want to see the 45-foot skateboard falling guy, you go to 970.am, you sign up to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, bada bing, bada boom. Rick, take a good look at that kid who sings Chocolate Rain. Tell me he doesn't look exactly like Janet Jackson. The eyes, the nose, the cheeks. He's the spitting image of Janet Jackson. It makes his voice even weirder. Do we have his voice,
yes,
Sarah?
We have his voice.
Well, now I have to hear it. Because I've been saying he looks like Andre Brower from Homicide Life on the Street.
I was doing some research on him, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's just way too old to be that crazy.
What else did you say during the break? You said he's 25 years old and creepy?
And completely creepy.
Yeah. His voice, like... Thank you. And this is a total, what do they call it, an earworm? It's just one of those songs that lodges itself in your brain and won't go away.
Chocolate rain.
Ah. You really need to see the kid in order to get the full impact of this.
Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before this in chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went.
chocolate. And I mean, there really is no chorus to this, right?
It's it just goes on and on. Here, I'm gonna. Oh, I can't skip ahead. It's been buffering, but it's a 5.5-minute song, literally just over and over again.
Just lodges itself. You know what this is like? This is like that leak spinning song. That's a.
You know, I actually had that up on YouTube for a while. I was getting ready to play it.
That's exactly what this is. So here's my thinking, is that this needs to be used as some sort of a watch theme. Like, there need, because we haven't had, Scotty's been pointing this out to me sort of relentlessly over the past few weeks, that we haven't really had, like, a new watch in quite a while. At some point, we'll have to come up with a Hillary watch. If somebody suggested that we really, like, are we going to do, like, a, are we going to do a watch for the election, or are we going to do, like, a Giuliani watch or whatever? I don't really know. But that, never have we come up with a song that we loved so much that we then needed to create a watch out of it. It's always the other way around. Usually it's like we have to come up with some sort of a watch, and so we look around, like the clergy watch. We cast around for songs, and we finally came up with Faith by George Michael, or the, you know, the corpse watch. Our former program director Bruce Agler came up with the Randy Travis Digging Up Bones song. We don't ever do it the other way around until now. This song is so fantastic.
Quickly crashing through your veins, chocolate rain.
How can we not use this?
Using you to fall back.
Yes, because this, you know, 15 minutes of fame are going to be done soon, then the song will never to be found again.
We have to immortalize the song now.
But what kind of watch could it be?
I have no idea. Down again, if only there was some sort of device with which the audience could communicate with us. If only there was some way the audience could.
I do not know of such a device.
Some method by which people might be able to speak with us now during the program and weigh in on how we might use Chocolate Rain. I don't have my high concept bell with me. I was going to bring down the high concept cowbell.
The cowbell?
Yeah, I don't really have it.
I have. This makes noise.
There's.
Should it be our high concept rapping Easter Bunny?
Let's not. No. No. Let's not. Let's not do that.
I'm the Easter Bunny.
Please don't.
I'm here to say.
Please don't.
I can't stop it.
Please don't. And the best thing is, it's right underneath one of those hot lights in the studio, and so its ears are gradually melting, you can see. It's 503-733-2970. Now, see, Scotty's another one of those people insisting that it's not really that guy. It is that guy. He's not lip-syncing.
It is. I've seen a bunch of other videos of his.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and just Google Chocolate Rain, it is. I mean, he looks like he's about 11 years old. So
that's all I'm saying.
Well, that last song I played was him as well.
Well, let's finish this. Happy Days thing out with this call, and then we'll go to the phones. It's let's see, Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello,
Rick. Are you telling me that Chocolate Rain is not the OJ watch theme?
Well, some of the lyrics are about the oppression of black people. I don't think O.J. Simpson is very oppressed.
Does he say that? Yeah, seriously, OJ, yeah, Whitey's really keeping O.J. down. We can't. The guy wrote a book called. The guy wrote a book describing how he killed two people, and we can't get him in jail. I don't really know that O.J. is being kept down by anybody. All right. Did you have an observation about Happy Days, sir?
Yes, I did. The spinoff that Pat Morita was on, it really wasn't a spinoff in the sense that it had anything to do with Happy Days. He left Happy Days. He did a show called Mr. T and Tina. And this isn't the Mr. T from A-Team, Mr. T. He played a character called Mr. T, and it was a really horrible show. It lasted about 2 episodes.
What was the premise of the show? Wait, when you say it was Mr. T and Tina, was that like a Chico and the Man kind of a thing?
I really don't remember. It was him and some white chick, and it was awful. It lasted like 2-3 episodes, maybe.
Him and a white chick. I'd watch a show called that. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Bonus Happy Days trivia. Before Chachi came on the show, Fonzie had another nephew that lasted maybe 4 episodes. Can you name him?
Oh, no, I can't. And I wasn't prepared for this. This is like that first episode where there was an older Cunningham brother.
There was Chuck Cunningham.
Chuck Cunningham, who was Richie's older brother. No, I don't. Well, who was there before Chachi?
Spike.
Spike?
Spike was his name.
Was he another swarthy, like, greased-up Italian guy?
He was, but he was a little too swarthy, I think. That's why he didn't like him. He was on, I think, 4 episodes. And, public apparently just didn't like him as much as Scott Baio.
Excellent. They had to de-swarth him. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye now. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hey, Rick.
I just thought it had to be said. You're talking about what theme the Chocolate Rain should get, what
yes.
kind of watch.
Yes, sir.
I think the obvious answer there is the Obama watch.
Sarah, I don't know. Sarah didn't say anything out loud, but here's what she did. She just pursed her lips and sort of shook her head tersely from side to side. You know,
well, I just,
Sarah?
I think you got to consider Obama before you do Clinton.
Well, I don't. No, do you? Well, I mean, clearly this can't be the Hillary Clinton theme song because that just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Well, I think we need to figure out what the song's about first.
About nothing. Oh. The song's about how this guy's crazy.
Does that even matter?
The song is about. By the way, and speaking of what is this song about, a guy did send me the chorus. He says, Rick, if you'll notice, there is a chorus. The chorus is the section that says Chocolate Rain. Oh, can you drop this down for just a second? The chorus is the section that says, Chocolate Rain, history quickly crashing through your veins, Chocolate Rain, using you to fall back down again. He says, if you notice, he repeats that more than any other section of the song. So, it is conceivable that since he references history and he does seem to be some sort of... And Chocolate Rain is presumably a thing that is taking over or that is growing in power somehow. You could conceivably make this the Obama watch theme. It is possible.
It's that subliminal level to it right there, where you don't even really pay attention to what's going on in the song, but it just buries itself in your brain a little bit.
All right, excellent. All right, we'll put it down. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. All right. This was your idea, by the way. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
We should use it for whenever a brother or a sister gets it over on a cracker that deserves it. And that's more broad. That way you'll be able to use it long after Obama's history.
This is George and Wilson. I was about to yell at Scotty for not clearly labeling your phone call, but the fact.
Hey, can I help it if you're my one and only family?
The fact that you use the phrase like putting it over on the cracker or something like within 4 seconds of being on the air, that gets you an exemption here. So this would. I don't even know what you would call that watch though.
The cracker, crack,
the
cracker.
Sticking
watch.
It to Whitey watch.
Yeah, sticking it to Whitey, something like that.
And that's
the Whitey
another,
watch.
Hold on, let's.
Well, Whitey watch.
Let's Whitey watch.
that's
let's,
funny.
How
George.
About this? How about let's see if we can test it out here. Just pause it for a second. Just another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's Sticking It to Whitey.
Again, Chocolate Rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio, Chocolate Rain. It's the fear your leader's car control, Chocolate Rain.
We have to find the perfect part of the song.
I don't know. We'll take it. Thank you, George. Calling them hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going another way. Inclement weather, tornadoes, hurricanes.
So this would be whenever there is, so any...
Six dead in Florida and chocolate rain, and then, you know,
I don't know,
flying through the air.
Maybe. I mean, that makes it sound like it's inclement weather happening only in deeply urban areas.
No, it doesn't have to be color-based. It's just,
it
know.
Sure doesn't.
No, I'm not, so, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Chocolate rain... Like, that just makes no sense. Like, if it was Chubby Rain, like in Bowfinger, I would almost understand that.
It could be like a... No, that was a dumb idea. Never mind.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Bye now. All right. Hi.
Like some kind of... What other watch could it be?
I have no idea. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Chuck Lorraine. It sounds like someone doing a very bad Sammy Davis Jr. impersonation.
I could see that. Like, because he does have sort of that fake vibrato. Well, let's listen here. It's the haunting piano intro.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
And that guy's, it's all nasal, too. The guy is totally putting the voice, it's all going through his upper, you know, like the roof of his mouth and then the nose. He's doing a lot of nasal singing, as they say.
This should be like a Saturday Night Live.
You could really see him busting into some sort of a, like a the Candyman kind of a thing there.
Yeah, exactly. Upper lip all pursed.
All right. Thank you.
Hi.
All right. We're no closer to figuring out how to use the song. It just seems like we can just let it go.
I just don't know.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
You know, my first thought was Obama... And using rain as R-E-I-G.
I like that.
Okay, I see that.
No, and I like the idea. I like the idea that Obama Fury is just being unleashed on the country. Like
right.
He's just coming out of nowhere to take over. And, you know, like a chocolate rain, he covers and envelops all that he sees.
So, I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
Can I do one? I've got like six different things in my head based on the last 2 hours of your show.
Yeah.
Can I just get these off of my mind so
sure.
I don't have to think about them anymore?
Why not?
Al played Murray the cop in The Odd Couple.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And
got it.
Oingo Boingo sang
yeah.
the song Monster's Holiday in Back to School.
No, they sang Dead Man's Party.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, Monster's Holiday is a song by Bobby Pickett of
now
Monster Mash fame.
Now I got to be thinking about this for the rest of the
Monster's
day.
Holiday. Monster's Holiday is a song by Bobby Boris Pickett, which is on the 33 and a third long-playing version of the Monster Bash record, which contained the lines, it was a monster's holiday, they were up to no good, it was a monster's holiday, didn't act like good good monsters should. What Oingo Boingo sang in Back to School is Dead Man's Party, which contains the line, it's a dead man's party, who could ask for more, everybody's come and leave your body at the door.
Beautiful. Best show ever.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. It's so rare that I really know the answer to anything that I don't just fall back and ask in the audience.
Should we try it as an Obama watch?
I don't have any Obama news.
Oh.
That's the thing. I've got nothing. Well, let's do like two more, and then we got a break here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, interestingly enough, I also came up with independently the Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I don't think the song is actually spelled that way, to be fair.
Well, no,
I think it is R-E-I-G-N.
I agree with you, but it could be like a play on words.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
Kind of pun.
Yes. All yeah. right. Did you have a suggestion for how to use the song, though?
Well, as an Obama watch.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll add it. Well, thank you. We'll put you down on that. We'll add your vote to that. All right. There you go. There's whoever.
And are we going to, for Hillary's, are we going to use that lesbian song for her? When was the lesbian wrote for
Why
her?
Why would we do that?
The I love, I'm in love with Hillary or whatever that is.
What are you trying
the
to say?
The lesbian country singer.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Rick, you could do a sewer watch with this. That's a great idea. We do have a lot of stories that involve exploding sewers and
the
fecal matter.
The
llama
being full of feces.
It's a Monday. We do have a lot of stories that involve waste and human filth flooding a house, filling streets, filling gutters, raining down on the pot. Okay.
I think we might have a winner.
Hold on. Let me look. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. During the break, I will find a news story involving sewage of some kind. And we will try Chocolate Rain out as some sort of a sewage watch theme. We'll see if it works. That was recommended by Nicholas. He says anytime there is some sort of a plumbing disaster or what have you. That's a good idea. We'll try that when we come back. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. Still to come, top five cool songs. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis. Don't forget, this week we're giving away tickets to the AST Do Tour featuring Jake Brown, the plummeting skateboarder. Also, Night Ranger tickets this week. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Ozzy Osbourne. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. People have been asking about the skateboarding crash video. I don't think it's on my page at the moment. I'll post it later on today. But you can go to YouTube and you just type in Jake Brown. J-A-K-E-B-R-O-W-N. You type in Jake Brown, you'll get to see him fall 45 feet straight down. And the reason...
onto his back, too.
And the only reason we can sound so jubilant about it is because I think he just walked. He just got up and walked away. And apparently, I have to go back and watch it again now because apparently both shoes come off. I only saw the one, but I guess both shoes just go flying. Still laced, though, from what one onlooker said. Anyway, his next appearance is going to be right here in Portland, August 16th through the 19th, is the part of the AST Do Tour, which is like an extreme sports kind of a thing. We're giving away tickets to see that. So if you want to see the 45-foot skateboard falling guy, you go to 970.am, you sign up to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, bada bing, bada boom. Rick, take a good look at that kid who sings Chocolate Rain. Tell me he doesn't look exactly like Janet Jackson. The eyes, the nose, the cheeks. He's the spitting image of Janet Jackson. It makes his voice even weirder. Do we have his voice,
yes,
Sarah?
We have his voice.
Well, now I have to hear it. Because I've been saying he looks like Andre Brower from Homicide: Life on the Street.
He's just, I was doing some research on him, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's just way too old to be that crazy.
Did you say, what else did you say during the break? You said he's 25 years old and creepy?
And completely creepy.
Yeah. His voice, like... Thank you. And this is a total, what do they call it, an earworm? It's just one of those songs that lodges itself in your brain and won't go away.
Chocolate rain.
Ah.
Some you really need to see the kid in order to get the full impact of this.
Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before this in chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain.
And I mean, there really is no chorus to this, right? It's
no,
just
it just
all
goes
this.
On and on. Here, I'm gonna. Oh, I can't skip ahead. It's been buffering. But it's a 5.5 minute song, literally just over and over again.
Chocolate rain.
Just lodges itself. You know what this is like? This is like that leak spinning song. That.
I actually had that up on YouTube for a while. I was getting ready to play it.
That's exactly what this is. So here's my thinking, is that this needs to be used as some sort of a watch theme. Like, they're neat, because we haven't had, Scotty's been pointing this out to me sort of relentlessly over the past few weeks, that we haven't really had, like, a new watch in quite a while. At some point, we'll have to come up with a Hillary watch. If somebody suggested that we really, like, are we going to do, like, a, are we going to do a watch for the election, or are we going to do, like, a Giuliani watch or whatever, I don't really know. But that, never have we come up with a song that we loved so much that we then needed to create a watch out of it. It's always the other way around. Usually it's like we have to come up with some sort of a watch, and so we look around, like the clergy watch, we cast around for songs, and we finally came up with Faith by George Michael, or the, you know, the corpse watch, our former program director Bruce Agler came up with the Randy Travis Digging Up Bones song. We don't ever do it the other way around until now. This song is so fantastic.
History quickly crashing through your veins, chocolate rain.
How can we not use this?
Using you to fall back.
Yes, because this, you know, 15 minutes of fame are going to be done soon, then this song will never to be found again.
We have to immortalize the song now.
But what kind of watch could it be?
I have no idea. If only there was some sort of device with which the audience could communicate with us. If only there was some way the audience could...
I do not know such a device.
Some method by which people might be able to speak with us now during the program and weigh in on how we might use Chocolate Rain. I don't have my high concept bell with me. I was going to bring down the high concept cowbell.
The cowbell?
Yeah, I don't really have it.
I have... This makes noise.
There's...
Should it be our high concept rapping Easter Bunny?
Let's not... No. No. Let's not. Let's not do that.
I'm the Easter Bunny.
Please don't.
I like hiding eggs.
I can't stop it.
Please don't. And the best thing is, it's right underneath one of those hot lights in the studio, and so its ears are gradually melting, you can see. It's 503-733-2970. Now, see, Scotty's another one of those people insisting that it's not really that guy. It is that guy. He's not lip-syncing.
It is. I've seen a bunch of other videos of his.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and just Google Chocolate Rain, it is. I mean, he looks like he's about 11 years old. So
that's all I'm saying.
Well, that last song I played was him as well.
Well, let's finish this. Let's finish this Happy Days thing out with this call, and then we'll go to the phones. It's let's see, Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello,
Rick. Are you telling me that Chocolate Rain is not the OJ watch theme?
Well, some of the lyrics are about the oppression of black people. I don't think O.J. Simpson is very oppressed.
Does he say that? Seriously, OJ, yeah, Whitey's really keeping O.J. down. We can't. The guy wrote a book describing how he killed two people, and we can't get him in jail. I don't really know that O.J.'s being kept down by anybody. All right. Did you have an observation about Happy Days, sir?
Yes, I did. The spinoff that Pat Morita was on, it really wasn't a spinoff in the sense that it had anything to do with Happy Days. He left Happy Days. He did a show called Mr. T and Tina. And this isn't the Mr. T from A-Team, Mr. T. He played a character called Mr. T, and it was a really horrible show. It lasted about two episodes.
What was the premise of the show? When you say it was Mr. T and Tina, was that like a Chico and the Man kind of a thing?
I really don't remember. It was him and some white chick, and it was awful. It lasted like two, three episodes, maybe.
Him and a white chick. I'd watch a show called that. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Bonus Happy Days trivia. Before Chachi came on the show, Fonzie had another nephew that lasted maybe four episodes. Can you name him?
Oh, no, no, I can't. And I wasn't prepared for this. This is like that first episode where there was an older Cunningham brother.
There was. Chuck Cunningham.
Chuck Cunningham, who was Richie's older brother. No, I don't. Well, who was there before Chachi?
Spike was his name.
Was he another swarthy, like, greased-up Italian guy?
He was, but he was a little too swarthy, I think. That's why he didn't like us. He was on, I think, four episodes. And, public apparently just didn't like him as much as Scott Baio.
Excellent. They had to de-swarth him. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye now. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
I just thought it had to be said. You were talking about what theme the Chocolate Rain should get,
yes.
What kind of watch.
Yes, sir.
I think the obvious answer, there's the Obama watch.
Sarah, I don't know. Sarah didn't say anything out loud, but here's what she did. She just pursed her lips and sort of shook her head tersely from side to side. You know,
well,
Sarah?
I think you got to consider Obama before you do Clinton.
Well, I don't. No, do you? Well, I mean, clearly this can't be the Hillary Clinton theme song, because that just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Well, I think we need to figure out what the song's about first.
About nothing.
Oh.
The song's about how this guy's crazy.
Does that even matter?
The song is about... by the way, and speaking of what is this song about, a guy did send me the chorus. He says, Rick, if you'll notice, there is a chorus. The chorus is the section that says, Chocolate Rain... can you drop this down for just a second? The chorus is the section that says, Chocolate Rain, history quickly crashing through your veins, Chocolate Rain, using you to fall back down again. He says, if you notice, he repeats that more than any other section of the song. So, it is conceivable that since he references history and he does seem to be some sort of... And Chocolate Rain is presumably a thing that is taking over, or that is growing in power somehow.
You could conceivably make
this the Obama watch theme. It is possible.
It's that subliminal level to it right there, where you don't even really pay attention to what's going on in the song, but it just buries itself in your brain a little bit.
All right, excellent. All right, we'll put it down. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. All right. This was your idea, by the way. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, we should use it for whenever a brother or a sister gets it over on a cracker that deserves it. And that's more broad. That way you'll be able to use it long after Obama's history.
This is George and Wilson. I was about to yell at Scotty for not clearly labeling your phone call, but the fact.
Hey, can I help it if you're my one and only family?
The fact that you used the phrase like putting it over on the cracker or something like within 4 seconds of being on the air, that gets you an exemption here. So this would. I don't even know what you would call that watch though.
The cracker. Cracker
sticking
watch.
It to Whitey watch.
Yeah, sticking it to Whitey, something like that.
And that's
the Whitey
another,
watch.
Hold on, let's.
Well, Whitey watch.
Let's Whitey watch.
that's
let's,
funny. Joke.
How about this? How about let's see if we can test it out here. Just pause it for a second. Just another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's Sticking It to Whitey.
Again, Chocolate Rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio. Chocolate Rain. It's the fear your leader's car control. Chocolate Rain.
We have to find the perfect part of the song.
I don't know. We'll take it. Thank you, George. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going another way. Inclement weather, tornadoes, hurricanes.
So this would be whenever there is so any
six dead in Florida and chocolate rain, and then you know
I don't know
flying through the air.
Maybe. I mean that makes it sound like it's inclement weather happening only in deeply urban areas.
No, it doesn't have to be color based. It's just
it sure doesn't.
No, I'm not, but I mean it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Chocolate rain. Like, that just makes no sense. Like, if it was Chubby Rain, like in Bowfinger, I would almost understand that.
It could be like a... No, that was a dumb idea. Never mind.
All right. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right. Bye now. All right. Hi.
Some kind of... What other watch could it be?
I have no idea. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Chuck Lorraine. It sounds like someone doing a very bad Sammy Davis Jr. impersonation.
I could see that, like, because he does have sort of that fake vibrato. Well, let's listen here. It's the haunting piano intro.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby.
And that guy's, it's all nasal, too. The guy is totally putting the voice, it's all going through his upper, you know, like the roof of his mouth and then the nose. He's doing a lot of nasal singing, as they say.
Yeah, it's got a definite, this could be like a Saturday Night Live.
Here. You could really see him busting into some sort of a, like a the Candyman kind of a thing there.
Yeah, exactly. Upper lip, all pursed.
All right, thank you. All right. We're no closer to figuring out how to use the song. It just seems like we can just let it go.
I just don't know.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
You know, my first thought was Obama and using rain as R-E-I-G.
I like that.
Okay, I see that.
No, and I like the idea. I like the idea that Obama fury is just being unleashed on the country. Like
right.
He's just coming out of nowhere to take over. And, you know, like a chocolate rain, he covers and envelops all that he sees. So, I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
Can I do one? I've got like six different things in my head based on the last 2 hours of your show.
Yeah.
Can I just get these off of my mind so
sure.
I don't have to think about them anymore?
Why not?
Al played Murray the Cop in The Odd Couple.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And
got it.
Oingo Boingo sang the song Monster's Holiday in Back to School.
No, they sang Dead Man's Party.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, Monster's Holiday is a song by Bobby Pickett of Monster Mash fame.
Now I got to be thinking about this for the rest of the
Monster's day. Holiday. Monster's Holiday is a song by Bobby Boris Pickett, which is on the 33 and a third long-playing version of the Monster Mash record, which contained the lines, "It was a monster's holiday, they were up to no good. It was a monster's holiday, didn't act like good monsters should." What Oingo Boingo sang in Back to School is Dead Man's Party, which contains the line, "It's a dead man's party, who could ask for more? Everybody's come and leave your body at the door."
Beautiful. Best show ever.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. It's so rare that I really know the answer to anything, but I don't just fall back and ask the audience.
Should we try this in Obama Watch?
I don't have any Obama news.
Oh.
That's the thing. I've got nothing. Well, let's do like two more, and then we got a break here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, interestingly enough, I also came up with, independently, the Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I don't think the song is actually spelled that way, to be fair.
Well,
I think it is R-A-I-N.
I agree with you, but it could be like a play on words.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
Some kind of pun.
Yes. All
yeah.
right. Did you have a suggestion for how to use the song, though?
Well, as an Obama Watch.
All right. Okay, well, we'll add it. Well, thank you. We'll put you down on that. We'll add your vote to that. All right, there you go. There's whoever.
And are we going to, for Hillary's, are we going to use that lesbian song for her? Remember the lesbian wrote for
Why
her.
Would we do that?
But I'm in love with Hillary or whatever that is.
What are you trying
the
to say?
The lesbian country singer.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Rick, you could do a sewer watch with this. That's a great idea. We do have a lot of stories that involve exploding sewers and
the
fecal matter.
The llama being full of feces.
It's a Monday. We do have a lot of stories that involve waste and human filth, flooding a house, filling streets, filling gutters, raining down on the pot. Okay.
I think we might have a winner.
Hold on. Let me look. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. During the break, I will find a news story involving sewage of some kind. And we will try Chocolate Rain out as some sort of a sewage watch theme. We'll see if it works. That was recommended by Nicholas. He says anytime there is some sort of a plumbing disaster or what have you. That's a good idea. We'll try that when we come back. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. Still to come, top five cool songs. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis. Don't forget, this week we're giving away tickets to the AST Do Tour featuring Jake Brown, the plummeting skateboarder. Also, Night Ranger tickets this week. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Ozzy Osbourne. You know, this show has the best music you've ever heard. You know it's true.
Are you referring to Chocolate Rain?
No. Well, yes. But not, I mean, not specifically. I'm also talking about this right here. How great is this? All right. Hey, by the way, I know you'll all be agonized to hear this. Columbia, South Carolina is the place where this news story comes from. Hootie and the Blowfish are again delaying the start of their summer tour. As lead singer Darius Rucker recovers from a staph infection in his left knee. Rucker, 41, has undergone three surgeries to clear the infection and is still trying to rehabilitate the knee. Hootie and the Blowfish have canceled four shows and post. How strange the Hootie and the Blowfish phenomenon is. The tour is apparently starting, what, August 10th? What is today? So that's like later the week. At Hilton Head Island. They'll keep a date to play three songs in their hometown of Charleston on CBS's early show. Well, that's really going to bring in the viewers. As a CBS employee, I can't tell you how relieved I am to hear that they're going to be booking Hootie and the Blowfish later this week. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. I was wondering how CBS was going to work it, overcoming the image that they're for stodgy, out-of-touch old people. I was wondering how the Columbia Broadcasting System was going to be bringing in the young viewers. Now I know. They're having Hootie and the Blowfish play three songs in Morning Drive. That's wonderful. All right. So there you go. Hootie and the Blowfish. You know, I was at Safeway the other day.
Why don't they put them on the CBS Evening News?
just cut to the bottom line and just have Hootie and the Blowfish do the opening theme for Katie Couric. I was at Safeway the other day, wandering up and down the aisles, and whatever that radio station is that they always pump into Safeway, they were playing Hootie and the Blowfish, and they were playing that I Only Want to Be With You song. And, you know, it's just such unbelievably bland. I mean,
Matt a huge Hootie and the Blowfish fan?
Yeah. Okay. Matt Peterson, of course. Yeah, of course he was. I mean, because Hootie and the... Well, no, I'm just saying because Hootie and the Blowfish, the presence of Darius Rucker, who does have a great voice, notwithstanding, they're the whitest group you've ever heard. They are just the whitest sounding music. I don't want to... We've already kind of done our high concept topic for today, so I'll have to bump this till another day. But really... I mean, just if you were to sort of put them in some sort of auditory lineup and say, look, which one of these bands is just the whitest group of people you could possibly imagine? I mean, they're going to outstrip any and all competition there. But they were playing that, I don't want to be with you. And he does have a rich, deep voice. But, man, when he sings those Hootie and the Blowfish songs, it's like they've given him some sort of instruction that he's not allowed to touch his lips or his teeth together at any point. Because he just sort of mouths all the words. So he just does a, I don't want to be with you thing, right? It's like a lot of open vowel sounds. God, I had a girlfriend who listened to that just relentlessly. And I should have known then, right? Hi, what should we listen to? How about some Hootie and the Blowfish? Well, yeah, why not? You know what she owned? Here's what she owned.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. Here's the only things that she ever listened to. God love her.
Collector's edition?
No. I mean this sincerely. She really was really cool. She's really great. Deserved a lot better than me. But musically speaking, there were differences. There were issues. Here's the only three things that she ever listened to. Hootie and the Blowfish. CDs of those, like, nature sounds, you know? Like, rushing stream. Autumn leaf blowing, rainforest chirps or whatever. You know, like...
Croaking
frog. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those CDs that are just sounds of, like, nature or whatever. She would listen to Hootie and the Blowfish, but just that one record, the Crack Review. Hootie and the Blowfish, nature songs, and Van Halen. But not even Van Halen.
Hagar
so much
or
as,
Halen?
Just so much as Sammy Hagar. That's what it was. She was a huge Sammy Hagar fan. Hootie and the Blowfish, nature sounds, and nothing but Sammy Hagar. Those are the three things she would listen to. And just after a while...
Did she have a real sweet spirit, though?
She would know. Now, don't be mean. She
was
really
not.
No, no, she was really great, but that was just one of those things where after a while it's like, how many times do you need to hear Three Lock Box? You know what I mean? You have to move on. Speaking of moving on,
and now from the Ministry of Truth.
Booyah!
This is Tim Riley.
Four painters have been taken to the hospital after falling off a scaffolding at a school in Southwest.
Painter?
I barely knew her.
They fell at least 6 feet. Shortly after 11 o'clock this morning at St. Thomas More School, all four taken to OHSU and put into the trauma unit.
Oh.
A 13-year-old boy who took his parents' 2007 Mercedes without their permission when Bend police in a high-speed chase this morning. They were responding to a call from a burglary and tried to pull over the Mercedes, but the teen refused to stop. He's 13, barely a teenager. After police gave chase, the SUV struck a curb and guardrail, causing a blown tire.
Is his dad's first name Mailman?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
They found evidence in the teen's car that linked him to a burglary that occurred at Connecting Point Computer Center just moments before. He's been arrested on several charges, including attempted burglary, reckless driving.
Reckless driving.
And attempting to elude a police officer. The Mercedes was significantly damaged, and he's going to be in plenty of trouble when he gets home.
Excellent.
Three floors at the Fontainebleau construction project collapsed on the Vegas Strip today. Apparently, this is a $2.8 billion project. It's supposed to be a 4,000-room hotel casino to be opened in 2009. And it's time to bring back the mob because people shouldn't be shot inside casinos. Wouldn't happen back in the old days, but it happened over the weekend. The man involved in a weekend shooting in the parking garage at Caesars is still on the loose. The suspect shot two people after an incident at Caesars nightclub at 4 o'clock in the morning. Looks like there had to be something between a female and a man, and they didn't get along. An argument ensued. Then there was punching. Then there was gunfire.
There was something between a female and a man?
Yes. One man was hit twice in the arm, and another person was shot in the knee.
Oh, okay. And so, okay, but it was an argument, like a domestic squabble.
Yes.
And then, you know, you're right, though. This never would have happened in the era of Vinny the Chin Gigante.
No.
You know what I mean? That just back when Mo Green ran those casinos, things ran properly. I would be curious to see the crime. They would probably never release these, but the crime stats in a casino versus the crime stats in, like, your typical American city.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it really does. It does just seem like casinos are the one place that just ought to be violence-free. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You could just, I mean, that is the great and weird thing about casinos, is that you could just leave a huge pile of money just sitting out in the open, and you can walk off to use the bathroom and get some nachos and have a massage somewhere and come back, and you know that every single dollar is going to be there. Every single dollar is going to be accounted for. Nobody's going to touch it. Nobody's going to look slantways at your money. Vegas really is just this weird confluence of all kinds of personality traits. Also, let me make this observation. What is this other casino they're building? The Fontainebleau?
Yeah, the Fontainebleau.
And it's going to be like a French thing?
Yeah, $2.8 billion.
The Parisian. The Parisian, which is kind of cool, actually, because you go inside there, as much as I don't really care for the Strip, you go in there, there's a huge... It's not obviously the whole Eiffel Tower, but it's like the lower third of the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. And then they serve those margaritas inside that Eiffel Tower-shaped glass that's a yard high. It's a three-foot-high margarita. The thing about casinos in Vegas are like porn films in that...
Exactly.
No, it's true. In that they're always building... Like, look, I mean, you go into, like, your average porn store, and you just look at the wall of videos, and, I mean, look, at the base, so to speak, they're all the same thing. Every porn film, unless you're getting some weird fetish film, all porn films are the same thing. Really, when you get down to it, at the root, one might say, they're all basically just the same deal. It's every porn film, more or less, it boils down to the same couple of things. But it's all of the window dressing, and it's the design and the packaging and the sort of bells and whistles that they add and big names and that they put in there to draw you in, and it's all of that and try to make the packaging real slick and try to give it a lot of sex appeal and so forth. But it's all really the same. Same thing with Vegas, man. You go to those casinos, and it's like they put into all these huge trappings, like at the Luxor, like at the MGM, or the Parisian, or the whatever. But you get there, and it's all just a huge thing full of slot machines and old women gambling away their rent money. I mean, that's really all it is. And don't get me wrong, I love Vegas. I really do. But I am constantly intrigued by the sort of gimmicks that they wrap around what essentially is just a guy sitting there playing scratch-offs by himself. So, anyway, there you go.
This is the anniversary of the Son of Sam murders. 30 years ago, the Son of Sam terrorized New York City. It was the summer of 77. Now, 3 decades later, a panel discussion at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in Manhattan takes a look back at the crimes and what has been learned. Ellen O'Toole is with the FBI Psychological Profiling Unit and says technology has changed in these crime-fighting tactics.
Today, however, if we jumped ahead 30 years, of course we would have DNA. And where would we get that DNA? We would probably get it from the envelope that was used to mail in the letter.
I was just, as I talked to Steve Kastenbaum, just finishing up The Bronx is Burning, which has a whole section about the Son of Sam, who was at that point, I think, known as the .44 caliber killer, until he sent that letter to the cops, like they all do, saying, you know, like... Sam needs blood or whatever. And Sam, I think it was like his dog or something, or his neighbor's dog that was giving him, I don't know. I guess it was a mean dog, Your Honor. The dog, it was telling him to, like, go kill people or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Son of Summer of Sam, which is that Spike Lee film with John Leguizamo and Mira Sorvino, which is not, in my opinion, a very good film. And
I agree.
I'm a huge Spike Lee fan, but that's not a very good movie. The one sequence in Son of Sam that's really great, or in Summer of Sam really, is... Well, there's two. There's the sequence where they just show David Berkowitz at home, and the dog just, like, barking at him, and, like, telling him, like,
kill, kill, kill. And then the sequence where he's being taken to the courthouse and arraigned, and he's walking up, and there's a huge crowd, and the lynch mob that had gathered there because they wanted to kill him and so forth because he'd been inflicting such terror in the city. So, Son of Sam, you got to, you know, you talk about a guy who knew how to establish a brand, though. You know, that's a lost art among serial killers. It really is.
David Berkowitz speaks about the forgiveness he received from one of the victims' mothers in an exclusive interview.
It's beautiful to be forgiven or to know that somebody is not holding that grudge and that anger against you.
Is he another guy who became all Jesus-y?
I'm not sure. I don't hear very much about him.
Who was the guy? Who was it? David Berkowitz that they caught? Well, there was like a videotape that came out of him like snorting cocaine and wearing women's panties or something in prison. No, that was, you know who that was? That was Richard Speck.
Mm-hmm.
That was Richard Speck. He's the guy who strangled all the nurses in Chicago. And then that dude, that like some prison video came out where he was like playing poker and snorting cocaine while dressed as a woman or something in prison. It was like the weirdest. It came out in like 95 or 96. And it was somebody had taken a video camera into prison somehow, and Richard Speck, who was the who killed 9 student nurses in Chicago, he strangled them all. And they interviewed him in prison, like, "So, Richard Speck, how's life in prison?" And he's like, "Oh, it's great." And it's like literally, it's like a home movie of him taken in prison, of him sitting at a card table with a bunch of other inmates, playing poker, leaning over an hour and again to like snort massive amounts of cocaine off the table. And I think during the whole thing, he's dressed as a woman with like a wig and like some sort of like a muumuu on or whatever. And it's just, it's like in prison. It's just the weirdest thing. It's just the most surreal video ever. Richard Speck, I forgot all about that guy.
All right. Dr. Louis Schlesinger says a serial killer may appear to be reformed, but inside it's a very different story.
In terms of changing with regard to the compulsion to kill, I would never, ever trust that ever with anybody like this.
Dr. Louis says after 30 years of researching the Son of Sam, many questions remain.
Why would somebody kill somebody that they don't know, and why would they do it in the way they did it?
Meanwhile, Usher and his wife, who are expecting their first child, have finally officially tied the knot.
Usher,
I barely knew her.
They exchanged vows in Atlanta on Friday and are happily married, Usher tells Us Magazine. A small public ceremony was held at the office of Usher's lawyer with his mother and former manager Jonetta Patton in attendance. Usher and Foster called off their July 28th wedding amid reports that Foster had checked into a hospital because of problems with her pregnancy. The Usher tells Us Weekly that everybody's fine. Temeca and the baby are fine. They announced their engagement earlier this year and later that Foster was expecting Usher's first child. She has 3 other children from a previous marriage. Police in the Baltic state of Estonia stopped a man who was driving erratically over the weekend only to find that he was blind. The 20-year-old was arrested in the southern city of Tartu, helped by instructions from his 60-year-old passenger. At first, they thought he was drunk, but the man kept missing the tube for the breath test, and he realized he couldn't see it, said the police officer.
Wonderful.
A teenager fell 6 stories from a hotel balcony, but walked away with just bruises and scrapes over the weekend in South Carolina. Matthew Savage was reaching up to a balcony 1 floor above to grab a bathing suit that had fluttered down from the 11th floor when he tumbled over the railing.
I don't reach for it.
He hit other balconies on the way down and slammed onto a slanted rooftop and slid into the bushes. I just closed my eyes, said he. He was nursing scrapes and bruises on his back and legs.
Excellent.
After landing in the bushes, he just got up and walked away and smiled at the nurses.
By the way, and here's a story, and I always wonder about these guys. You've got this here. A 50-year-old man who died in a hit-and-run crash Sunday night on Green Bay's east side has been identified as Tyrone Ware of Green Bay. A woman who was also struck in the crash was reported in life-threatening condition. Now, of course, you know, standard hit-and-run, it sounds like. And then you've got this. But here's where it goes a little wacky. Police say a 40-year-old Green Bay driver was drunk when he hit the 2 pedestrians, then drove 17 blocks with the man's body lodged in his windshield. I was wondering, and you're looking, and this is not like it's on the passenger side. I mean, this is like directly in the middle of the car. The entire windshield is caved
in. Some people have the dirtiest windshields, though.
He just thought it was some sort of large blue bottled fly.
Oh, you know, bug juice when these huge things fly at you at night when you're riding around the countryside, you can barely see.
Yeah. Do you ever think about the life cycle of a fly like that, though? It's got to be a weird, when you're a fly, and then all of a sudden you're alive, you're alive, you're alive, and then you're dead because you're on the windshield of a Freightliner. That's got to be a little strange. You wonder if there's just like a split second of recognition that happens in the fly. So they're like, wait a minute, I've hit something, but I didn't see anything. It's just a weird thing.
I don't think a bug is that smart to think so.
Probably not. Hey, can I just tell you a great bug story?
Yes.
You know what I did this weekend? I laid down just a big blanket of chemical-laced death all over the fruit flies in my kitchen. It was fantastic. Because I was having this whole problem with the fruit flies because I had some standing water in my kitchen. It was nobody's fault but my own. I left some standing water in the kitchen. And then I had also had some trash that I hadn't quite taken out fast enough. And then it was unseasonably warm for a day or two. So I just got these fruit flies. And, you know, they're just impossible to get rid of because, and we've talked on the show a million times about the little tricks you can do to kind of trap a lot of them. Like you can either cover a glass with saran wrap and you put fruit inside, you poke holes in the top, or you can put a funnel into the glass, which is what I do, and they crawl into the glass, but they're not quite smart enough to get out. But, of course, it is like some sort of weird Darwinism. It's like a natural selection in action because the flies will go in there, all but like three of them. And there'll be three of them who are smart enough not to crawl into the glass. And then what are they? They buzz around and they breed intelligent little fly larvae of their own. And so within like 4 or 5 days, you've got this race of super flies. Super fruit flies, anyway. flies.
Suddenly we're getting more interested. The story's becoming more compelling.
I just got big hats with feathers and funk music behind them. Super fruit flies in the kitchen. So they, I couldn't get rid of them. And so, man, it was the most satisfying thing, though. So I finally went to Safeway on, like, Sunday afternoon, and I bought a big thing of just insecticide that just said, fruit fly killer, in huge letters on the front. It was the most, I mean, really, it just fulfills you on a level. Like, it is some sort of Ted Nugent, primordial man facing off against nature thing, where I just went in there like America just napalming the Viet Cong. I just went in and just the entire kitchen. Places in the house that didn't even have any fruit flies, I used that stuff. Just walked through just every windowsill, every garbage can, just because it was so deeply satisfying. And then I went out, and I don't know, I just went out and did a bike ride or did some crap or whatever. And then I came back later, hundreds of little tiny dead fruit flies littering the kitchen. It was really, you know what it was? It was one of those moments where we're really proud of American science and technological advancements. You know what I mean? I can see that nobody else cares about this, but boy, it felt so satisfying.
No, that is a good weekend.
Maybe it's just me. I find deep fulfillment in using some sort of scientific advancements to get rid of creepy, crawly things that are infesting my house. It's like that time that I had black widows in the garage, and I got that thing that they make from Raid, where it's like you don't even really have to go in the garage. It's like a hand grenade. You press the button, and you open the garage, and like throw it in and slam the door shut, and then it just, over the course of about 6 or 7 hours, just... and it just kills every one of them. It's like scratching some deep mental itch. Hello? Can you hear me in the back? All right. Scotty, what have we said about people who call up and they try to use wacky names when they come on? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Rick, about Chocolate Rain. I think your sewer idea sounds like a winner. It would dovetail nicely into all the stories you have about asses and various items relating to asses. The first stanza, oh, and then he's just quoting the song here. You could also use it for that story about the guy with the punctured colon. Just think about it. All right, well, shall we try this now? Here's our inaugural edition of the Rick Emerson Sewage Watch.
Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went.
From Scotland comes word. Children have been unable to play in their backyards during the school holidays because of raw sewage coming from a blocked drain. They say the smell is atrocious and poses a health hazard to the 12 children who use the garden. A 42-year-old Helen McHale, a housewife and a mother of two, says it keeps getting blocked. The drain's an open hole. Every time you flush the toilet, it comes up in the garden. There's human feces in our back garden and toilet paper. She said workers have been able to, fix the problem, but the drain keeps getting blocked again. The smell is atrocious. It's like They put sewage in the garden. The kids can't play outside. It's disgusting.
I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I had a septic tank, and then we had a septic tank in the backyard of our house, which they just removed at some point. Does that sound like a thing that really happened, or am I just imagining that now that I think about it? It was like a huge tank buried in our backyard that they just dug up and hauled away. Is that a thing they really do?
Yeah.
I'm not just fabricating that. And it just smelled like a bunch of sewage.
Yeah.
So is that...
Because it was.
Do they replace that with a new tank? I don't remember a new tank being put in.
Unless it's connected to a city sewage supply.
Yeah, because if you have your personal backyard one, yeah, it's just full of stuff and then they take it away.
Is it... Really? So if you have a septic tank, I mean, is there an emptying?
That's exactly what it is. The tank. Like, instead of going into the sewer system, you're actually collecting it in your backyard.
I understand, but I'm saying... Are you telling me... This is a weird technology now that I think about it. Okay, so if there's a septic tank in your backyard, like there was, is there a way you can sort of temper, like drain it, you know, empty it out?
Like into a bucket?
Like a fireman's sort of bucketing system, just all the way down to the river?
It's not a recommended do-it-yourself project.
But I'm... Okay, here's the thing. So they're building a new house, let's say in 1970.
Be careful not to get too gross here.
I'm just asking. I wonder about these things. They bury they put an empty septic tank in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Family comes and moves in.
Yes.
They begin living in the house. The septic tank gradually fills, you know, with chocolate rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets full, do they have to dig it up and remove it? Or can they just, there's like a service that comes along and drains it?
They can drain it.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not like you use it once and throw it away.
It's like filling up a cup. And then they empty the cup.
Then a guy comes along. What, do they empty it into a truck? And then the truck hauls it to the sewage plant?
Well, it's like when you go to campsites for trailers, and they're the tubes that they connect from the bathroom down into the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're like that.
You're doing that thing where you're speaking to me like I'm a small child who is not quite bright.
I just don't understand.
I don't understand
how you don't understand.
Because I've never really... Why would I ever have taken the time to learn how to set how a septic tank works?
Because you know there's a giant tank in your backyard that's just filling full of your product.
Your from your region.
And it's completely solid on the outside. At some point, they're going to have to take it out.
Right. I never really thought about that.
Yes.
It's really gross.
Okay.
And then Spot the Dog barks madly.
Chocolate Rain.
There's your sewage watch.
Raise your neighborhood insurance rates. Chocolate Rain. Makes us happy living in a gay Chocolate Rain. Made me cross the street the other day. Chocolate Rain.
All right, so there you go. How do we feel about that? Do we feel like chocolate?
Because I've definitely got to clean it up around the edges.
I mean, do we feel like a sewage watch is a good idea?
Yeah.
All right.
Any other day except today where we're going to lunch after the show.
I know. This is helping curb my appetite a little.
So sorry. Scotty, does this person want to ask why we hold the audience in contempt? Is that what this question? Am I reading this question correctly?
That's only on music radio.
Yeah, you're confusing us with every other radio station in the city. I guess. Yeah, way to screen. Way to really assess the content of the call. All right, well, you know what? If whoever that is wants to talk to us, they can hold. We'll do it after the break. So whoever you might be, if indeed that is your real cover, we'll talk to you after the break. Hang on. Take a break here. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up in the next hour, my friends, my compadres, my amigos. Let's see. What is coming? Oh, we have the top five coming up. Top five cool songs. Let's see. Tim Riley will return from the Ministry of Truth with more observations, news, and stories of comedy. We've got a pair of tickets to see Night Ranger this coming weekend in the Gorge as part of Neon Nights. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Keo! Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, about falling people. Something just isn't adding up. We just had two stories of guys that fell six stories and the skateboarder who fell five stories. Both got up and walked away with a few scrapes. But Tim just read a story about workers who fell off scaffolding in southeast Portland. They fell 6 feet and were taken to a trauma ward. I'm taller than 6 feet. They didn't even fall a whole me, but they were taken to a trauma unit. What gives? Are Portlanders just weak and spindly? Yes, that is the answer, sir. Let's see, Rick. About that large dock structure at OMSI. I found out what that structure is, Rick. Speaking of Chocolate Rain, it He's part of a sewer overflow project. Now, that is true. Yeah, we
I ride my bike underneath there quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm always afraid that thing's going to collapse on me. Rick, about Jake Brown. Oh, and by the way, I guess ESPN and their infinite wisdom, they've removed that Jake Brown skateboarding accident video from YouTube. Because why would you possibly want to put something up there that serves as a huge advertisement for your product? Why would you make people interested in your product by putting up the most talked about video clip of the last 3 months? Why would you ever do that? Whatever you do, if you're a media company, make sure you go out there and you remove any and all free ads. Jesus Christ. I mean, you're talking about not only is that Jake Brown video, and he's the guy at the X Games that went up, and I know about it because everybody was talking about it. Sarah was talking, and Sarah's not like the X Games target demo, because, you know, the breasts and all. And she came in, she's like, hey, did you see the guy at the X Games and the skateboarding? And I'm like, no, I got to get. So I went home and
I watched it live, too, and you're watching, you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to watch somebody die.
And so I went onto YouTube, and I'm like, Jake Brown, skateboarding accident, X Games, whatever it is, I typed in, and like 100 results came in. You know why? Because everybody put it up there. You know why? Because everybody was talking about it. And so ESPN has just gone and they've removed all of those from YouTube because, you know, what you absolutely don't want to do, what you don't want to do at all is put anything out there that will get people more interested in your programming, especially when it's something that, I mean, think about how hard we work in the media these days in 2007 to get people to pay attention to commercials. Think about how hard we work to try to get people to watch television programs, to listen to radio shows. And here you have something on the internet that people are actually seeking out. People are sitting at home in front of the computer actively seeking out an ad for your X Games. And then the knowledge, get rid of that. Make it difficult to find. Jesus. Put it on ESPN.com where no one can locate it. Anywho, so blah, blah, blah. Don't forget, by the way, the AST Do Tour is coming through Portland. That is August 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. There's all 4 days. We're giving away tickets to that, or ticks, as they say. And that Jake Brown guy who wiped out so badly at the X Games, this is going to be his comeback, is at the AST Do Tour stop when it comes to Portland. So if you are not an AM970 glorious bastard, for shame! Go to 970.am and sign up to be a 970 glorious bastard. That is how we're giving away tickets to that. AST Do Tour tickets being given away all this week to AM970 glorious bastards. Your chance to win, so do that. How we got to do this Night Ranger thing? It's all very exciting. Rick, weren't you a little surprised the medics at the X Games didn't cart Jake Brown out on a backboard? Isn't that standard medical procedure, at the very least a precaution for someone that ostensibly fell out of a 5-story building onto his spine? I can't believe they just let him walk out of there. Maybe they don't have real medics at these events. It's like the TriMet whack-and-hut security of the sports world. It is true. Even though he got up,
he had one arm. I remember two people were carrying him out, and he had one arm over each of their shoulders.
That does seem really unsafe, because you're about those guys. Because it's possible to break a leg or to hurt your spine and not know it, and stand up and walk out and not know that you've broken something, like, deep inside you, or that you have, like, internal bleeding of some kind. It is kind of strange, actually, that they, like, let that guy get up and just walk away. I'm just going to be all puzzled about that now. All right. Let's see here. And then we'll get these calls.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please,
I can't.
Kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Scotty J. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
You don't seem like you're doing so well. You seem like you're a little off kilter
today. Well, tomorrow's a big birthday for him.
Oh, that's right, because you're going to be 52.
Yes, I'm busy thinking about how old I'm going to be tomorrow.
How old are you going to be?
38.
Stop it. That's not even age shaving correctly. You're not even following the algorithm on this program. We'll let you start age shaving on Wednesday.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Scotty J turns 41 years young.
Oh,
and
boy.
On Wednesday, you can begin age shaving. But for tomorrow, you got to be 41. So, all right.
Oh,
that, does that mean you turned 40 when you were on this? I don't even remember
yes,
you turning 40.
I started with you guys when I was 39.
I don't. How sad.
I was in my 30s.
How sad is that? You were in your 30s when you started here, and now you're in your 40s. That's like I interviewed, how was it, Roddy Bottom, the guy from, the keyboardist from Faith No More, and when he was on going on tour, this is years ago, for like the Angel Dust record, I think, and he said a thing that really put it in perspective. He was talking about how long their tour is, and he's like, you know, I'm 34 now, and he's like, I'll be 37 by the time we get off tour, and you just don't really, when you put it that way, Scotty, boy, goddamn, you're old.
Yeah.
All right, blah, 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 what was I going to say?
But you look great. That's what you were going to say.
No.
You look very young.
Not today, though. Today you got a lot of crow's feet going on.
Yeah.
Are you following the regimen that Mary Kay...
Have you been using your eye cream?
No, and I should be. I'm going to go do the old laser thing and just have all this crow's feet stuff removed.
I don't think they do that with a laser. I think you're thinking of something else.
That's a chemical peel that you use for your crow's feet.
Yeah, you're thinking of tattoos.
Laser it and then it just, like, it's red for a couple days and then it just, like, heals.
What would a laser do to get rid of your wrinkles?
Well, it'll, like, you know, it's like getting cut or something. It'll scar it up for a little bit and then it'll heal and it'll all be smooth. I don't know
so
how
they will
works.
Scar up your face. And when the scars go away, your wrinkles will be gone. I don't think
something
it works
like
that way. I think it's a chemical peel. Sarah's right about that. And then they tighten it up. That's the other thing, is they pin your skin back, and then they, like, glue it into place or whatever, and then they stitch it into place. That's how they do that. They remove skin. They cut skin off of your face.
That's an actual plastic surgery procedure.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about just getting it zapped with the laser and, you know.
You keep saying zapped with the laser.
Pops up and heals over and away it goes
the lines. I don't think that means what you think it means. I think you're thinking of another treatment. Okay. Have you considered plastic surgery?
No.
Or cosmetic surgery? Let's put it that way.
Would you do cosmetic surgery?
Well, I if they just took a little laser thing and went bzz, 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 on each side.
Okay,
I don't think they can put lasers.
Live in the year 3800. Quit saying this.
If they did this.
Okay, but I'm saying
they're only
that.
Comfortable if they shot lasers at your face.
Seriously. If they're not cutting off my flesh with a laser, I don't want it. But I mean, like a Botox or something like that?
No, I won't do that.
Well, what's the difference? I mean,
Botox
I'm not trying to pick
like,
a fight. I'm just curious.
Yeah, Botox is actually some kind of botulism.
It is botulism. It's not a kind. It is botulism. All right. Well, fair enough. Because I think Botox is retarded. So yeah. I mean, fair enough. I mean, and obviously I have no problem with the cosmetic surgery.
And I tell you, it's just from smiling too much and being out in the sun like this.
It's living too rich of a life, Scott.
And I try to pull it down, you know, and it's still there. So
too much sun. Speaking of which, are you looking forward to your walk to lunch today?
I'm not walking.
Are you really going to drive, like, the four blocks to lunch?
Scotty, you're not going to be able to find any place to park that giant
truck.
Yeah,
that behemoth compensator you drive isn't going to be able to find. You're not going to be able to park that anywhere.
Well, you told me this last time we ate there. Uh-huh. And, it's just a couple blocks down the street. So, one block.
You ended up parking.
Blocks,
you ended up parking
blocks,
at the coin tower
blocks.
Last time. You had to walk. Look,
yeah.
The walk from your truck to the restaurant last time was the same as it would have been if you'd walked from here to lunch. It just took more time and money. It just doesn't make any
effort.
Sense. I'm just saying.
I'll think
well,
about
Scotty,
it.
Well, Scotty, I'm driving.
I need exercise. Oh, you are?
I have a soapbox every meeting after this. So if you want a ride there, I can give you a ride there.
But I won't be able to give you a ride back. Oh, that doesn't work for me.
You really are a suburban. I'm surprised you just don't try to do this show from home via ISDN or something.
I thought about that.
I'm surprised
it might be good to get a little exercise in your old age. You are 41.
Yes.
You're not getting any younger, Scotty. I don't know if your knees can take the walk, though.
Exactly.
All right. Well, does this person... we have a full board of calls, as they say here. Is it 220? Holy God. I've done nothing. I haven't even given away these Night Ranger tickets.
Ooh, looking forward to
that. So Scotty's going
to
be at the Night Ranger show?
Scotty will be going to see Night Ranger and quite possibly more. We can't quite say yet, and I haven't been able to confirm it. Quite possibly more at Night Ranger.
At that... show?
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay. No, I don't.
I just told you like 5 minutes ago. Okay, never mind. Never mind. All right, so we'll do these calls. We got Tim coming up. We'll do this top five cool songs, which I'm actually really looking forward to because it was unseasonably cool yesterday. It was really nice, though. I got to say that. It was nice for this bike ride. It was sort of overcast, and it wasn't raining, but there was like a mist in the air. It was actually a really nice bike ride. So I was actually kind of glad that it wasn't hot yesterday. Does this person say we hold the audience in contempt?
Yeah, I guess so. It's
what does that
kind
mean?
Of kooky,
I don't know. Well,
funny,
let's find out. Hi,
yeah,
you're on the...
That's not exactly what I said.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, hi.
Now, you're the one who told me that radio people usually hold their audience in contempt.
Well, not radio people as such. Let's all calm down.
Okay.
I have said several times that when you call like a music radio station, speaking of DJs, when you call and you're talking to a DJ, know that the DJ on the other end is probably drunk and almost certainly hates you.
Well, my experience has been going to like radio promotions, and over the last 24 years, I've been to them all up and down the West Coast, and the people they send there are always jerks, and I could never figure out why until you explained to me that they hold their audience in contempt, and it all makes sense.
Yeah, no, and they're drunk. Don't forget the drunkenness.
And they're drunk. Yeah.
Well, and it depends, though. If you go to a radio promotion, when you say you go to a radio promotion, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about everything from the 4th of July at Cal Expo to your concert promotions to whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different reasons why this would be the case. And I will say this, and I'm not saying this because we work at CBS Radio. I'm saying this because it is very true. I should say, actually, just by way of an addendum to this, that when we worked at Fisher Broadcasting, there were great people there. Fisher Broadcasting was a great group of people. They were fantastic. They really were. I have worked for a lot of other companies, though, where it was just like a jerk parade. It really was. Just a bunch of bastards. At CBS, the folks who work at CBS, the street teamers, people who work in the promo department are all really cool. We're really, really lucky in that regard. I will say, most radio stations, you go to see like a radio promotion, there's two kinds of people you're going to run into there. You're going to run into some promo person who got that job because they really want to be a DJ, but there were no DJ jobs available, so they took a promo job. And, you know, what they're doing is they're standing there handing out stickers to people in cowboy hats all day. And they just sit there and slowly begin to hate everyone and themselves. And they're working for like $1.50 an hour and for like trade at some restaurant they don't want to go to. So that's why they're angry, because they hate you and everything about their lives. Also, and they've slowly come to realize, by the way, that the on-air job that they were promised when they took the promotion, the entry-level promotion job, doesn't exist. It's they came to apply for an on-air job. Someone said, well, I don't know. You know, you might want to take this job handing out stickers at like a drapery store on Saturdays. That can sometimes lead to on-air jobs. It never leads to an on-air job. That's a lie. And they're finding that out, and so they're all bitter. Here's the other thing. You go the other end of that spectrum is you go to a radio promotion, and there's some overpaid idiot DJ there who is convinced that he is a celebrity. DJs are not celebrities, but and I'm including ourselves in this. Mm. Radio people always think that they're real celebrities, and they never are, ever.
Well, and the bigger they are, the snottier they are. I once had Wolfman Jack come to a carnival I was working at, and he had security around him. You couldn't get within 20 feet of the guy. He spoke to everybody over the intercom system for like 10 seconds and split.
Yeah, no, it's true. All right.
Yeah, well, best show ever, dude.
Thank you. All right, see, so it's not much. He wasn't about, it was a good call. It wasn't about us. About other radio people.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad, or I wouldn't have put it up there. I'm a screamer.
Sure, Scotty.
This email says, as someone who's been 41 for a couple of months now, tell Scotty J he needs to get as much exercise as possible. The weight begins piling on before you know it. You have to try twice as hard just to maintain. And I don't smoke and drink nearly as much as Scotty J. He definitely needs to walk to lunch today and make sure he has a low-calorie option when he gets there.
And Scotty has the greatest thing going for him anyway, because you only have to walk one direction, which is pretty short.
She's offering to take you to lunch.
I'm still thinking about it.
You're not thinking about it. You're going to drive your idiot huge truck there.
No, I remember trying to find a parking place last time.
But then you and I could be together. We could have bonding time. You and I can swear as we try to park my car anyway.
Yeah.
Last time I tried, I had to drive around the building like four times to find a place. And I ended up at the coin tower, which is
the same walk. You would have been there. It's the same walk, it's the less time, and you wouldn't have had to spend money on parking.
And if Scotty walks, let's just say if he's later than us, or if he drives and if he comes later than us, then we won't wait for him.
No.
We'll just order without you.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
I'm still thinking about it.
Well, look, I will tell you this. I was tempted this morning to drive to work.
Did you bike in?
I did. You know why? Because I knew I had to go downtown today.
I wish I had a bike right now. I'd ride it down there.
You're driving into town in the back of your truck.
Hey, you know, that's an idea someday.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. Rick.
Hello. Caroline. Hi. All right. All right. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hi. What's up?
Hey, my husband and I think that your Chocolate Rain song.
Yeah.
We think that that's Scotty J singing it.
I could see that. He does kind of have that same tone to
it. It does. Doesn't it sound like him?
No, it's true. No, I could see that. And it has sort of a... Yeah,
it sounds more like Clyde Lewis to me.
It sounds like that guy is trying to do his version of the Trey Parker over-singing. That kind of, now you're a man. You know, he's kind of doing... Where it's all kind of going to the roof of your mouth. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it does sound like Scotty J. And
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? And we also have a story. My husband's band played out at a tavern. And unfortunately, it was during the summer, and at the back of the tavern has a nice grassy area with picnic tables and everything. Well, the band is all set up, and guess what happened?
I have no idea.
Chocolate rain. The potty overflowed in the back of the band was playing.
Who's ready for lunch? All right, thank you. Bye now. All right. Fantastic.
Yikes.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We got Tim coming up. We got the top five. And then Scott and I were talking about these Night Ranger tickets that we have. This
I'm
is for
getting
the...
kind of pumped, actually.
Kind of pumped.
Of course you are. Wait, hold on. Do I have... Oh, please tell me that I brought these down with me.
I have a whole file of them, but...
No, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
You can't possibly be prepared. Oh, they're upstairs. I have some liners for these cut by Jack Blades. Of Night Ranger.
Nice.
And they're great because they're over the phone. And it's a lot of like, this is Jack Blades.
I can't wait.
Woo, get ready to see Night Ranger at the Dalles. I mean, it's fantastic. He clearly has no idea where the Dalles are. He has no idea. Couldn't find it on a map. I mean, which is fine. He just knows that he's getting ready to rock somewhere this weekend. So that's wonderful. So here's the thing, though. This is for the 14th Annual Neon Nights Music Festival. We have Night Ranger tickets, Riverfront Park, the Dalles. That is this coming Saturday. Is that right?
Was that this Saturday?
It's August 11th. I want to make sure that I'm saying it's Saturday when it actually is. It is Saturday. So here's the deal. You got it. So this is in the Dalles. So it's not like it's, you know, 5 minutes away. So we want to make sure that these go to an actual Night Ranger fan. So
enthusiast.
I guess a Night Ranger aficionado. So I'm thinking that we ought to have a Night Ranger themed contest to give these away. So we might actually do a complete this Night Ranger lyric something for the top of the hour, which is not like a groundbreaking contest, but I think it'll actually appeal to someone who is a Night Ranger enthusiast. So we'll do that. We'll try to get that done before the top of the hour today. All right, okay. We should break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley around the corner. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. When we return, top five cool songs and Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. You stay right there. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. This is a great idea. I'm totally going to go to everybody's garden center and get one of those carnivorous plants to eat the fruit flies when they come back, because of course they will. People are now sending me lists of people younger and more accomplished than Scotty who share his birthday. Don't feel bad, Scotty. M. Night Shyamalan's three years younger than you are. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it throw you. Charlize Theron, 9 years younger than you. I wouldn't worry about it, though. It's not a thing you should fixate on. All right, we'll do the news here in just a second. We may or may not get to that top five today. However, here's what we'll do. We'll throw open the folds right now. For people who are interested in these Night Ranger tickets. And so what we'll do is, I think we'll probably end up taking caller 5, and then caller 5 will participate in the Night Ranger contest. So if you are interested, if you are a Night Ranger aficionado or enthusiast, as Scotty J said, and you are interested in seeing them at Riverfront Park in the Dalles this Saturday, August 11th, here's the phone number. It's 503-733-2970. Don't be an ass and call up and win these if you're just not going to use them. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We will take caller number 5, who will then participate in this exciting contest to win these Night Ranger tickets. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Lake Oswego police officer crashed into a frame shop after mistaking the gas pedal for the brake today. It happened around noon. The policeman crashed into the Frames by Design shop at 333 State Street. No reports of serious injury, and West Lynn police have been called in to investigate the Los Oswego police. Doesn't make sense. Oh, the creator of the Oscar Mayer jingle, My Bologna Has a First Name, is dead. The 77-year-old jingle writer, Jerry Jinglin, passed
Jerry
away.
Jerry Jinglin, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a heart attack. He was 77. He worked for Oscar Mayer for some 23 years, climbing all the way up from to vice president to marketing. He's one of the top 10 jingles of the century. Oscar Mayer.
His name was Jinglin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell it? Is it J-I-N-G-L-I-N?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
No, why?
J-Y-N-G. Chinglin. Mm-hmm. Does it say what kind of name is that even?
I don't know. You'd have to ask his relatives.
Does it say what the other jingles are? The top jingles of the
20th
century? Oh, come on.
It mentions that one.
Oh, that's... I hate it when they do that in the story.
I hate it when they do
blah,
that.
Blah, blah, blah is the second best-selling blah, blah, blah of all... And then, like, naturally, you want to know what the first one is.
Nope.
And then, so... Scott, are we screening these Night Ranger calls?
We will be. Momentarily.
You know, we asked people to call, like, an hour ago. Now they're all just hanging up because they think they've not won.
Rick.
I'm just saying. It's okay. All right. It's 503-733-2970. That's okay. No, it's like the line's filled up. And then slowly it started blinking out because they weren't being answered. So everybody just assumed that they had not been caller five. There you go. There's caller one that's just coming right there again. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, U.S. home foreclosure filings rose some 58% in the first 6 months of the year. The housing market continues to deteriorate, and the stock market isn't in very good shape. The fixed income market is the worst in 22 years, and Jim Cramer was trying to explain it on the air the other day, and he just lost it.
The Bear Stearns call, listen, open the darn Fed window. He has no idea how bad it is out there. He has no idea. He has no idea.
Kramer.
I have talked to the heads of almost every single one of these firms in the last 72 hours, and he has no idea what it's like out there. No.
That's just an awful flashback, isn't it?
And Bill Poole has no idea what it's like out there. My people have been...
Please don't.
...in this game for 25 years, and they are losing their jobs, and these firms are going to go out of business, and he's nuts. They're nuts.
It's almost hard to believe that show didn't work.
Better corpses are causing hazards at mortuaries. More than two-thirds of people living outside of major cities are overweight and obese. And extremely obese corpses are causing safety hazards at mortuaries. What to do? Well, specially designed mortuaries will soon be required if the nation fails to curb its epidemic. They need larger storage and dissection rooms and more robust equipment.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In the past year, there have been requests for larger crematorium furnaces, please, bigger grave plots, and super-sized ambulances.
Fantastic.
Super-sized wheelchairs and hospital beds, too.
Wonderful.
Let's get going on this today.
Oh, by the way, we've been talking about this this Jake Brown clip from X Games, which the ESPN had removed from YouTube for some reason. Rick, I just saw the Jake Brown clip on ESPN last night, but after you mentioned the YouTube crackdown of the video, I decided to try and take a look for it as if I were an interested consumer who just heard about it. The ESPN website doesn't even have it on the front page. It's not even in their top headlines. The clip on Yahoo's page is from an Australian local morning news program. ESPN is sitting on the hope diamond of marketing, and they just don't seem to understand it. Think of all the sponsors who spent lots of dough buying banner space at the top of this event for this very kind of thing. They've got to be pissed. Yeah, there you go. It's almost hard to believe that traditional broadcasting networks are just getting their clocks cleaned. It's stunning. All right.
Fatal accident has just occurred at Highway 18 at US 101, so expect things to be backed up there. That road's a death trap anyway.
Where?
Highway 18.
Wait, don't I was just going to say, actually, don't repeat it again. Because all I heard, like a lot of people, was just, blah, 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 that's a death trap.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
The country of Dubai in the Middle East plans a Hooters. According to the director of Hooters European Financing, the company still intends to open up a Dubai location in the Middle East. Yes, they're planning on it. The problem is that at present, the contractor can't give a good timetable for completion. According to published reports, Hooters backed off their original three planned branches in Dubai because of public opposition. This is a Muslim country. It is the first expansion into the Arabic Peninsula. Expansion plans are also for Israel. They're also underway. So apparently they're trying to have Hooters. Oh, a franchise costs $75,000 per location. Did you know that?
In where?
Anywhere.
For Hooters?
Yeah.
Seems like it ought to cost way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things are...
Initial investment for the restaurant ranges between $800,000 and $1.5 million.
Oh, but just the licensing is like $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because having a Hooters, really... let's be honest about this. Owning a Hooters in several places and like in just this market alone, that's just a license to print money. That is, depending on where you put that. All right. Put that right next to a hardware store of some kind. All right. Let's just take, hello. Hi. Is this caller five? Hello, Roger.
Roger, this is. How are you, Rick?
Roger, this is. Yes. Hello, Jedi Master Roger. How are you today?
I am great.
All right.
Number one Night Ranger fan.
Really?
Well, I got to hear this story every 6 months from my wife, Rick. She used to be a bartender up in Alaska, where Night Ranger came through back in the 70s, and she met the drummer and blah, blah, blah. And I got to hear this story every 6 months. And
now,
so this will be a nice top off.
Now, when she met the drummer, now did she meet him in a biblical sense, or was it just like she said hey to him?
Well, you know, I tend to walk out of the story before it gets to that part. So
really?
You know,
Let's cut to the chase here. Do you think your wife slept with the drummer from Night Ranger?
No, I think she did sleep with the drummer to REO Speedwagon, though.
Really? Are you kidding me?
No, not at all.
Well, how did that happen?
Her husband before me was in a band, and he was an opening band for several different acts during the mid-80s. And so she would do lights for them. And when, you know, these groups were getting big, REO Speedwagon, Night Ranger, you name it. Yeah, she met them all.
Fantastic. All right. So here's the deal. So I will recite to you a series of Night Ranger lyrics, and it's honestly just this simple. Now, here's the thing. I will recite to you some lyrics, and then I will stop. All you have to do is give me the next line, and I will tell you this. Here's the thing. You can either guess or you can throw the question to Scotty, one of the two, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
So I will recite some Night Ranger lyrics. Now, before you give me your answer, then all you have to say is whether you are going to guess or if you're going to have Scotty guess on your behalf. All right, here we go. Sister Christian, oh, the time has come, and you know that you're the only one to say, okay, where you going, what you looking for. All right, now I need the next line. Now, you can either answer that yourself or have Scotty do it.
Okay, well, you know, I can sing that whole part and just hum that part of the song, though. So I'm going to throw this one to Scotty.
Oh, man, this is the hardest part.
All right.
Nice job picking out the hardest part.
So Scotty is going to answer this for you, if he can. And actually, to be fair, I will sing the lead-up line.
How about, I think I'm going to just take a guess right now while it's on my mind.
You don't want it?
Nope.
You're playing with someone else's fate. Are you sure you don't want to take another?
No, I'm going for it.
Okay.
Because mom, this boy ain't going to da-da-da-da-da with you. So I got to figure it out here. Hang on. Am I close even? Tell me.
Sarah's raising her hand.
Go ahead.
Is it, you know, the boys don't want to play with you? More with you, it's true.
Well, but, okay, well, you can't just give him the answer. Well, how does that work?
I knew I was close.
Well, okay, you didn't shut your hole. All right.
That's not close
you
at all.
You weren't close at all. You went da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It says mom, this boy, right?
No.
No?
Where's that? He was close.
No, you were, okay.
That is in the song,
you
right?
You pipe down, sir. No, yeah. It's not in the song. You weren't close at all. And more to the point, I shouldn't give it to the guy because Sarah had to step in and answer the question for you. And I... With someone else's fate on the line, I offered you another run at the song. I was going to give you the lead-up lines. Just, Scotty, I don't need to hear the lead-up lines.
Your lead-up line doesn't help
me. I know this perfectly. And then you didn't know any of it.
No, the lead-up line doesn't help me unless you were going to give me part of that.
Well, now I don't even know if it should go to the guy since Sarah stepped in on your answer.
Well, it needs to because I really love Sarah, and I listen to you guys every day. And, you know, Scotty might have screwed it up, but...
What are you going to do with these tickets?
Sarah pulled it out.
All right, fine. Okay.
I'm going to take my wife.
All right, you know what? I will make an executive decision, sir, that despite Scotty's unbelievable ineptitude at finishing this Night Ranger song, a band that he purportedly...
Close.
You weren't close! Okay, here's the thing. I will give the guy the tickets if you admit right now that you weren't even close.
I swear, before I give you an answer,
Scotty.
I swear that somewhere in that song he goes, because mom, blah, 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 something about, he says something about his mom, because this boy ain't going to hurt no more for you or something.
Do you realize you're just making up lyrics that aren't in the song?
He didn't say the word mom in there at
all. Now it's just down to does he say the word mom?
Not much a phrase.
How about boy? Does he say boy in there somewhere?
Because this is sort of unclear and because we muddied the waters a little by Sarah just kind of jumping in with the correct answer, I will give this person tickets. And I'm sorry, I've forgotten his name. I will give Roger these tickets to Night Ranger this Saturday if you, Scotty, admit that you were not even close on the answer.
Okay, well. I was, though. That's the thing. But I'll admit I wasn't, just for the sake of giving the tickets away.
Scotty, you weren't close at all.
I was semi-close.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to give him the
tickets. I even had the hum thing going right,
I'm afraid that I can't give Roger these tickets, Scotty.
Are you sure it wasn't a collective effort for the listener?
It really was.
It was.
Scotty, this is your...
I was wrong.
Thank you. There you go. Roger, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Thank you, guys.
Scotty, we'll get your information and pass it along to Dave Zinn and Bridget. Would you CC Bridget on that
sure.
as well?
Sure. I got it already.
All right, hold on, sir. The best part is how, like, there's just no comprehension. When I say, you need to say I was wrong for Roger to win, Scotty, I wasn't wrong! He really has taken that Costanza advice I gave him about doing the opposite of what he's supposed to, mm-hmm. to, like, its logical extreme. All right. And Tim just took out his headphones. Are we done with the news?
I guess I'm just baffled about what just happened on the air.
As our
it seems like Scotty is a little off today. I think he's kind of nervous about his birthday.
I think so. It's not every day a man enters his 40s.
It'll just be a bigger pinata than usual.
I don't even know what that means. All right. Let's take a break here. We have one more break, so we'll take this now. We'll come back around the corner. We will wrap things up. We have Lycus coming up at 3. Don and Mike at 7. The Rick Emerson Show continues next on AM 970. Stay right there. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. So I think when we go to lunch, we should immediately order appetizers. Because I think all of us will arrive around the same time, all three of us, while Scotty is still trying to park his behemoth of a truck. I think we should go out there and immediately order numerous plates of appetizers.
Tim and I already know exactly what we want to eat.
Consume them at once.
We've been waiting for this day for a long time.
That's true.
It's true.
All right.
Scotty's not going to come between us on our veggie pad thai.
Is that what you guys get?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Fantastic. All right. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, Rick, this email says, about Chocolate Rain. I find it amusing that the part of the song you always play contains the line, Chocolate Rain, seldom mentioned on the radio. I hadn't thought about that. See, the thing is, if we make the Chocolate Rain song into like a sewer watch sounder, I was asking Sarah, I said, you know, because we've only got it on the YouTube, I said, you know, let me know what section you want edited down, you know, because you listen to it like way more than I have. And I'll
and
turn it into
my dreams.
Oh, man, it's a total earworm. I'm not going to be able to shake it out of my head the rest of the day. And Sarah's like, I don't know. We'll have to listen all the way through and find out what lyric we should really focus on. And I don't think I can make it all the way through. How long is the song? It's like 5 minutes?
Yeah, like a little over 5 minutes.
There's no way.
And it just ends, you know, with the same lyrics it begins with, and all of a sudden just stops and just trickles out of the music, and that's it. There's never any, like, altering of anything in the song.
Oh, no, there's no way. Let's see. So, I don't know. We'll try to have the Chocolate Rain, the sounder done, by tomorrow. Coming up the rest of the week, don't forget, tomorrow and Wednesday, we have additional tickets to see Night Ranger this Saturday, August 11th, Riverfront Park, The Dalles, Oregon, the 14th annual Neon Night. So we have pairs of tickets to see Night Ranger tomorrow and Wednesday. All this week, we are giving away tickets to the AST Do Tour, which is going to feature the triumphant comeback of the very nearly killed but somehow inexplicably fine Jake Brown, who plummeted like 45 feet in the X Games. So that I'll be taking part in the AST Do Tour Series, which is August 16th through the 19th. If you are not an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, you got to go to 970.am right now and sign up for that. Rick, let's see. What else do we have here? Will you and Sarah be riding in the bridge pedal this Sunday? No and no. How about this? Rick, I know you aren't a golf fan, but did you see Tiger Woods hit a woman on the sidelines this weekend?
Oh, jeez.
No, I didn't. I'm sure she would have loved to move, but it appears as though she's in a wheelchair. Is that true? Ah, Tim's laughing. You can't hear it because his microphone is off, but Tim laughed at the wheelchair line, too. That wasn't just me. Rick, he says, I know you aren't a golf fan, but Tiger Woods hit a woman on the sidelines. I'm sure she would have loved to move, but it appeared as though she was in a wheelchair. I felt bad to laugh, but laugh I did, Rick, loudly. I'm still looking for the video clip so I can watch it again, over and over and over. All right, please do be sending me that if you find it. And finally today, final email today. Rick, Even though I know you aren't a drinking man, when you take the Whitechapel Jack the Ripper tour, you get to stop at the legendary Ten Bells Pub. You can and should have a drink of gin from the same shot glass used by Mary Kelly the night she was killed. The bartender kept it and has passed it on since that night. It is effing awesome in a morbid kind of
way. I've been there.
Really?
I did the Jack the Ripper tour at Twilight, and it was awesome.
That is so cool.
And actually, I was kind of scared at some points because you're on the double-decker buses. And I was on the top, you know, and the top is uncovered, and so you're going through all these old tunnels, and you can almost touch the ceiling as you're going through these old tunnels where he's, like, gutted people.
Ah, creepy.
Yeah.
All right, join us tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, and we'll celebrate the 41st birthday of Scotty J. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Steve Kastenbaum. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. The PA is Scotty J. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. following Dennis Miller. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Do be safe. Try to help the retarded. Watch out for snakes. Bye now.
Chocolate rain.